United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Let's go! Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Sidewalks, busy sidewalks, dressed in holiday style. In the air there's a feeling of Christmas. Children laughing, people passing, meeting smile after smile. And on every street corner you hear silver bells. Silver bells,
silver bells,
it's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling,
ring-a-ling,
hear them ring,
hear them ring.
Soon it'll be Christmas Day.
Even stoplights blink a bright red and green
as the shoppers rush home with their treasures.
Hear the snowflakes, see the tears bunch, kiss the Santa's big scene.
And above all this bustle, you hear
silver bells.
Silver bells,
silver bells,
silver bells, it's Christmas time in the city.
Why is everybody in this room rocking?
It's got the Christmas spirit oozing.
I mean,
every,
yeah.
Every orifice of my body is.
Yes.
Very good.
We grew up on this.
That Dean Martin, that's wonderful.
But you know who he is.
I know who Dean Martin is.
He's from Steubenville.
Yes, he is. They have a festival down there.
Yes.
They've got the Dean Martin Festival.
Oops, sorry
about that. Go ahead, choke me, Sticks.
Steubenville is in Columbiana County, right?
No, Jefferson County.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a nice town. One of my favorite places to eat is down there.
What is it?
It is a steak roadhouse. Actually, it's in Wintersville. Y'all
go too far. Good afternoon and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 9 minutes after the hour of 12 noon, and today is the 19th of December, and Mark Mangi, Stix Lloyd Burt, and Annie is with us.
Hi.
Hi. And we are here because it's Thursday, and it's 7 days to Christmas. Okay, now what goes on in Steubenville with Dean Martin?
Yeah, well, I used to have a friend that lived in Steubenville, and I'd go down there for lunch. It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
We'd go to this place. It's a steakhouse. It's out in Wintersville. They serve steak. That's what they serve. And they would say, what kind of dressing do you want with your salad? And I would say, what kind of dressing do you have? And they would say, French. And that's it. So, you're going to get French salad dressing. And the bread would come out wrapped in cellophane, but they used real butter.
Ooh.
Their steaks were marinated. And I'd go and have steak and the best onion rings in the world, man. You'd get those things slurping around in the steak juice.
Ooh.
And then we'd drink. And then I'd go to my buddy's house. We'd light the fire, and I'd drink some more. He lived on Lover's Lane.
I haven't been hanging around with you very long, Mark, but this drinking thing seems to be a recurring.
Not so much as my buddy moved to New York.
I mean, it's either drinking or eating. You know, when he says, and every time you come in here, there's food. I mean, six kids.
No, wait, you had food in here. Look at this. We got the double whammy with cookies today.
I brought food in here and didn't offer you guys a bit. Would anybody like a piece of Melba toast?
We got chocolate cookies, we got cane cookies, and we got sugar cookies. Why would we have Melba toast?
And she brings Melba toast. I'm going to hazard a guess, there's people who are listening to you who don't know what Melba toast is.
I don't know what Melba toast is.
It's that.
Oh.
And then Mark brought more cookies.
And
what do we got?
That has a bow on it.
Oh.
Fancy.
I know these didn't come from your house because we're doing cookies at your house.
I know you're doing cookies at my house.
Hey, Bonnie, thanks for the Christmas card. I'm a smuck. I didn't do Christmas cards. Call me Scrooge.
We don't do Christmas cards either.
I do Christmas cards. Every now and then I do them. But I didn't do – I did – well, I'll take that live. I did a couple this year.
I got my Christmas letter from our friends. And
which one?
Well, I've got friends who live out of town that send me their,
Can I ask why people send letters and tell you everything that happened to them in the whole year for Christmas? Did I ask them? I mean, it's like saying, how are you, and you just saying, not saying just fine or good. No one wants to know or tell me your story, and they tell you it from the time you were born until now. Why do people send out three-page letters?
It's an excuse to talk about themselves.
It came illustrated. There were pictures. It's nice. I've got a couple folks that do that, and I really enjoy it when I know the people. You know, when I really don't know the people, it's kind of so what. You know, but at least the ones that I get are people that I care about, and I'm genuinely interested in what happens to their families. You know, but
Six, you can't be making people eat your favorite cookies when we have our own favorites in the box.
What's this? We got candy.
There's cookies in the box. Candy canes.
Candy canes.
Chocolate.
Did you make them?
I helped.
When you say you helped, what does that mean?
Some of them I put on the pan. Some of them I mixed.
I thought maybe he changed that to make sure his wife
rolling
was doing
the,
it right.
Rolling the candy cane thing just together, that doesn't work. I gave up on that a long time ago. It takes a lot of effort to make one of those candy cane cookies.
It's pretty impressive that you helped at all since you're a guy.
Oh, I've been cooking since...
Have you really?
Yeah. I cook, I can.
That's awesome.
I smoke meat.
She makes jerky.
Mm-hmm.
She cans meat.
I'm not too fond of that, but good for you. That you can
that's right. You're a vegetarian. I forgot.
You got a smoker. How big's your smoker?
Just one of them small ones.
The small ones?
Yeah.
Some of the smoked meat is good.
Yeah.
Some of it...
It depends on who smokes it.
Yeah, I got one guy who does a really great job, and another guy, oh, my God, he's bringing it to me. Goes someplace else. I'm sure Sticks is great. He looks like he knows what he's doing with it.
What is that supposed to be?
Please, country.
Oh.
Yeah. Can I give a shout-out? I want to give a shout-out
sure.
to my friends, my new friends. I have to tell you, and Tracy, you know about this, at the Spanish Evangelical Church on the east
you
side
went there,
of Youngstown.
You went there, didn't you?
We went there to church on Sunday morning and had a wonderful time, and it was a great experience, and the service was terrific, and these are great folks, and I'm really glad that our mutual friend Ray, introduced mm-hmm. me to them. And
Was the whole sermon in Spanish? With the whole
It was dual. I mean,
okay.
He'd say a line, and the guy who's doing the translation is a good looking guy, and they had some nice looking ladies there too. But it was very good. I mean, it was terrific. I haven't heard that much Hispanic music since I was in Miami the last time. I felt like I was in Little Havana. It was wonderful, joyful, and just great. Nice people.
I was out goofing off.
What were you goofing off doing?
I'm the church.
Where?
Goofing off at church.
I was goofing off at church. Mm-hmm.
Now, when you go clear up there to church, do you go to Sunday school too?
I go to 6 a.m. prayer, and I don't get out of church until 6 p.m.
Oh, my goodness.
So I stay the day.
Do they feed you?
Yes, there's food in the middle.
That's nice.
It's not an all-day marathon.
Yeah.
There's a 6 a.m. prayer, and then I go back and change clothes, and then we have a Sunday school at 8:30. But
mm-hmm.
it's seasonal, so during the holiday, it breaks. And then you have 10:45 service, and then we have 11 o'clock service. I'm sorry, 10:45 service. 10:45 lasts till about 1 o'clock, and then we break for lunch, And we have lunch over in the cafeteria. And if you want to come back to 3 o'clock service, you can. And I, when I go, I usually stay for the day.
I have to ask, is the food good?
It has had its moments. Some days it is. Some days I wouldn't touch it with a stick. I'm not going to lie to you. Absolutely not.
Now, is it the same sermon twice?
No.
Oh, wow. That's great.
No. Now, are you giving the sermon?
Usually multiple sermons. Churches that have multiple services, you get the same sermon.
It depends on what our church, we do it because it is a morning service and afternoon service. The church that I went to in Los Angeles, we had 5 services a Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same sermon, all 5, but it was out of necessity because you could not fit that many people in the auditorium.
Right.
And so you had to have 5 services to accommodate the whole membership.
That's the way it was at a church I used to attend to in Canton.
Hey, listen, what time is our guest coming on?
12:30.
Okay. I think that I'm going to try to keep this light, but I promise you before the day's out, I'm going to be on a Duck Dynasty rant.
Oh, please.
So I promise you I'm going to be on, and I'm going to shut phones down when I go on my Duck Dynasty rant. I'm going to make sure, because you guys are going to hear everything that I have to say about me and the duck.
Okay.
I am so, so concerned about what happened with Duck Dynasty.
You are?
Yes, I am. Inspiring minds want to know. I'm very, very concerned, and it's a problem to me, and I have issue with it.
You and probably 9 million other people in this country.
No, because some of them don't care, and they don't know to care. So I'm gonna keep my rant down.
But, Feel free because my wife heard it from me all last night.
Oh, so I promise you, I've got a monologue that is going to be at least 10 minutes. And
do we have a teleprompter to run the monologue?
No, you don't have to have it. I don't need a teleprompter. This is straight from the heart.
Straight from the heart.
Absolutely. I got issues.
So between your monologue and our guest at 12:30, David Long, state senator from Indiana, about the Article 5, the movement to amend the Constitution under Article 5, this ought to be a pretty fiery day.
Absolutely, because I got issues. I have major, major, major issues, and America is just ignorant enough to allow this to happen and not call a revolt.
Yeah, but it's happening over and over again. I mean, it's there,
yeah, but
it happens over and over again with these people.
But did you hear Glad say anything about the Russian comedian that said that gay people should be put in ovens?
Who said that?
He was a Russian comedian, and in Russia he made the statement, not in jest, because they're jailing homosexuals in Russia right now.
That's terrible.
What about the Islamists?
Listen.
What about killing the Coptic Christians?
You don't hear that. We'll go to Al Jazeera. Talk to them.
But you got. Listen, I'm gonna.
It's not the misery Olympics. Nobody should be killed for something like that.
We shouldn't be going there yet. It's too.
Yeah, but you know what? It's important because the gentleman that's going to come on to talk about what they're going to talk about is absolutely the reason why we need what he wants to do.
I agree.
Yeah, but I want to, because if we go there, we're going to.
All right, let's go back to cookies.
Yeah, he may not get in word edgewise, because all of us have something to say about what's happening right now.
No, we got him 30 minutes too.
That's why at 1 o'clock, you know, we're going to be on the Constitution, and I'm going to be talking about freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to be talking about the Olympic Games starting in January. That's in Russia, and I'm going to be talking about a lot of that has to go on, because right now, what's happening is not good for the community.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see what happens.
When
you start talking, I'm looking forward to the future. You know, Chick-fil-A went through the same thing.
This is different.
Yeah,
It's different. This is different. This goes to the core of what our fabric is, and I'm trying, Mark, let's talk about football.
I don't know anything about football.
How about those Dolphins?
So we're going to just sit here and be
wait a minute. I mean,
I'll talk about.
We got this basketball coach that this college basketball coach that says that his entire team is nothing but a bunch of mama's boys.
Nope, can't do that either.
Oh, okay.
Because that's still freedom of speech.
That's still controversial.
We got Rice, the old coach of Youngstown State, his son, from beating up people. We got bullying. That's top. The number is 347-945-5229. And I'm trying to have a woo-saw moment because I have issues, and you guys don't understand how many issues I have, and I've been itching to get this off my chest, but I have a guest coming on who's going to talk about a constitutional amendment. So I'm going to let him come on and talk to us about what's going on with him, and then hopefully walking into Duck Dynasty. And I've never even I've watched Duck Dynasty once, and I don't even care if Duck Dynasty does a duck duck, but we're going to talk about Duck Duck Goose because I have issues, and it's bothering me. Because America is asleep at the wheel. They are.
You know what the stuff I write? Just about every week I'm writing the line, wake up, America, wake up. Look what they're doing to you. And, I'm seeing just a little bit of movement coming through the courts right now with some of the garbage that's going on. And you know what? We got a long way to go. And I'll tell you what, we come out of the next 3 years, if things keep going on the same trajectory that they're going on, we're in big, big trouble.
Have you heard the new song?
Which one? Did you see the Jammy commercial, the Christmas Jammy commercial?
The boxer commercial?
No, not the boxer commercial. It's just called Christmas Jammies. Jammies.
No, what's that?
Oh, it's pretty good. They do a rap thing while they're wearing their pajamas. And it's.
Well, I'm trying to find this one here. And.
Oh, look at her. Oh, right.
No, not that
go
one.
Back, go back, go back.
That's Mayor Rob Ford.
Oh, jeez, look what you had on there before.
No.
Look what you put on there now.
No,
oh,
no,
there
no,
we
no,
go.
No, yeah,
hello,
no,
Rudolph.
No. I've got to I can't find it. Have you seen the new Obamacare outreach?
Yes.
What did you think?
Whether it's a couple, just the guy that's doing the rap thing.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, I think what they're doing trivializes what the issues are across the board. I can hardly wait to Christmas dinner so I can sit down and I can talk with my family about what a treat Obamacare is.
Yeah, there was somebody called into another radio show yesterday I was listening to, and they said, yeah, I can just see that now. Everybody's sitting around in the evening after they've had several beers or several drinks, and then, now they're going to talk politics. Really, really, family.
They have been, actually, and, people have been, they are encouraging you during this holiday season to talk about Obamacare and talk about.
Yeah, I know.
But listen to this. They haven't given you any information on what they want you to talk about.
No.
They just want you to sign up. They just want you to go by the innuendos and or the news and the. And whatever, but they don't want to talk. They don't want you to have the truth and tell you the fact.
Since our conversation yesterday, I started doing some checking into these high risk pool things. It looks to me like we didn't have a health care insurance problem. We had an insurance salesman problem.
We had an insurance salesman problem.
Because these plans that I'm looking at for people in your situation aren't that expensive.
Yes, they are. I don't care. Yes, they are.
They're a car payment.
No, they're not.
Yes, they are.
No, they're not.
That's not what my research shows.
I don't care what your research
shows. It goes to sticks. The plan you had versus the plan you're going to, what you're getting for your money, and when people are used to $1,000 or a $1,500 deductible, they're going to be getting a $7,000 to $10,000 deductible. It also goes to issues of cost. Now, if you're under a certain income, it's not going to cost you anything. You're over a certain income, it's darn expensive. These policies can go as high for families, $15,000 to $20,000 a year.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. In the research I've done in Ohio, if you were in a high risk pool, there's a whole list of conditions that put you in that high risk pool that was subsidized by the state prior to Obamacare, it had a $1,500 deductible, and the average payment was $400 a month, $450.
Yeah.
Do you realize that's $450?
If you were in the about a high risk
pool. If you're in the high risk pool.
Right. $450.
Right. But if you were under if you were under a, if you were under 200% of, but if you're under 200% of poverty, you get Medicaid.
But you're not. That's the problem. That's what you. That's what you're missing. You're not. And when and that insurance, that $400 a month is if you have a car note, if you have insurance, if you have apartment, if you have light, if you have gas, if you have to go to work, yet $400 is a lot of money to have to pay out. You keep on underestimating.
No,
$500 is to the average household.
I know what $500 is to the average household because I've been below average household my whole life. It's just a family makes decisions.
You can't make that decision.
Yes, you can.
You cannot.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
We do it.
No,
families do it every day.
And guess what? When they lose it, they lose it. When gas goes up to $4 a gallon, you can't get to work. You can't get to work. What do you want me to pay? To get to work or to pay the bill? You keep forgetting that, and that doesn't cost for the deductible. That doesn't take in for the supplements. That doesn't take in for your medicines. It doesn't
count. It does. Did you look at the plan?
Yes. Remember, I'm one of them.
I know.
And what I'm trying to tell you is it's not as easy as you see.
I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying
it's
hard.
If you have other people to feed.
But if you have other people to feed, that poverty line number goes up.
It doesn't go up enough if you're working.
$50,000 a year. Family of four, $50,000 a year qualifies for Medicaid in Ohio.
It depends on where you work and what you have. A family of four for $50,000 is not a lot of money unless you live in Youngstown.
In the state of Ohio.
$50,000 for a family of four is not a lot of money.
In 90% of the state of Ohio, it is.
It is
average income average per capita income in Ohio is $35,000 a year.
That's not where your population lives. They're not in rural Ohio living on a farm.
I know that.
And they cannot.
But average income in Ohio is $35,000 a year person. That's if you got two wage earners.
You said a four.
Right.
You're not listening.
I am.
People cannot afford that. And if you think that people are going to sit around and for the rest of their life eat beans. It's not going to happen.
How come our grandparents did it?
Because they were not as knowledgeable. They didn't live in the time that we live in. You cannot.
So we're spoiled rotten.
Too bad. It's life. It's America.
It's not life.
It is.
Life is taking care of what you have to take care of first and living second.
That's what we're saying. And so now you're causing me to cut my throat.
No.
Yes. People are not like most people. You're not like most people.
I know I'm not. I pay the important things first and worry about going and playing second.
We're not even talking about playing. We're just talking about living. People are not going to do it.
No, they're not going to shut their cable off.
It's not about
No, they're not going to.
It's not about cable. It's about life. It's not about cable. You keep on thinking it's about cable and fancy cars. It's about life.
I think it's about people can cut.
No, you think about you can cut. But it all depends on the you that you're cutting. You don't know their situations. You don't know what their bills are, and you don't know how they were incurred. And we need to quit putting people in a cookie cutter thinking, oh, all you have to do is do this, this, and this. That's not life.
I am missing the gist of your argument, Styx.
Styx is saying that you ought to be able to pay out $500 a month no matter what your income is.
No, I didn't say that.
If you make $50,000 a year for a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
$500 a month should be a piece of cake for you to take
care of. I didn't say it should be a piece of cake. I said it should be able to be done.
But it's not $500 a month for four people. It's more than $500
absolutely.
A month for four people. These are people who had decent plans and had their budget arranged in a certain way in order they could afford. Then the government comes in here and pulls the rug out from under them.
He's not talking about Obamacare. He's talking about...
In Ohio before...
Yeah.
Before Obamacare, there was what was
okay.
called a high-risk pool.
Okay.
And under that high-risk pool, the average payment, monthly payment, for a $1,500 a year plan was $450 a month.
Okay, and a $1,500 a year plan?
$1,500 a year.
What's $1,500 a year? Do you know what happens?
And under that plan, that included medication was part of that, too.
Do you realize that medication for people that have chronic diseases that are not covered? Do you know what your doctor?
But the medication was covered under that plan.
Do you know how much first of all, look,
I know what your medicine costs. Tons.
No, no. So who pays?
It comes out of your insurance. It's subsidized by the. It was subsidized by the state.
409, your mic is on.
All right, I just wanted to. This is former homeschool dad.
Hey, homeschool dad, how you doing? Who's no longer homeschooling?
Yes, I'm doing fantastic, and the kids are doing great. I obviously wanted to get on Sticks Aside on this one just because there was a time where I was taking care of 7 people on an income of $30,000 a year. I was the only one working. I had one job. My wife wasn't working. That was before the DJing thing really took off. $30,000 a year or less, I was taking care of 7 people. Yes, it is possible. No, I didn't have cable. No, I didn't have internet and all that other stuff. And I know you're saying that other people just need to survive, but I just want to back him up that if people lived to survive, to truly get by day to day, and didn't think that they needed to live a certain lifestyle, it can be done. I just think there is a lot of complaining, a lot of, you know, whining about how they don't have this and that, and it's almost like they deserve to have this and that, when if you get down to just, you know, the bare minimum brass tacks, just survival, it can't
be. Can I ask you a question? Can I ask you a question? When you did that, what year was it?
Gosh, that would have been probably between 2003, 2007, in there.
So how much was your gasoline per month?
I don't even remember.
See, what I'm saying is at the inflation rate, and I'm looking at today, I'm not looking at, because when you look at 2008 and what happened in 2008 with people's budgets, when gasoline went up, and you started, when I first got my SUV, I was paying $46 to fill it up. It now cost me $80 to fill up the same truck. When I first got my truck, my insurance was $69 a month. It is now $160 a month. It's the same truck.
Well,
it's the same insurance.
I don't know what Sticks would say, but I was in a situation where we had a van to where, you know, we could hold all our kids comfortably, and we sold it and bought a tiny little car. It's really tight and really squishy, but it's really good on gas. So we did what we had to do to
save
in that
aspect.
But
is it 7 people in the car, and is it safe? It depends on how. What I'm saying is it depends on how far you have to go.
Yes, yes, it was safe.
7
like
people
said,
in a small car is not
have,
safe.
Like I said, it's different now. We have 2 vehicles. Like I said, everything's different. But the time that we needed to live like that, and we did it so that we could homeschool, so that my wife could stay home with the kids, and we could raise them and teach them godly principles. That was our, you know, that's why we lived the way that we lived. That's why we didn't have that much money. But it was still possible. We were able to live, and we were happy.
And don't get me wrong. It's okay to live. It's okay. And I agree. For a stint of time, if you lose your job, can you do something like that? Absolutely. For a period of time.
Without going incredibly in debt. You know, without going incredibly
Correct.
In debt.
For a period
without,
of time. If you plan.
We didn't really go anywhere. I mean, there's actually free stuff that you can do. You know what I mean? I think people just have such a they're just raised to look at life in a certain way, you know. And I know where he's coming from.
Don't get me wrong. I understand where he's coming from, but as a lifestyle, it is not doable. Can it be done? Yes, it can. Can you live a very, very minimalist lifestyle? Yes, it can. And is it okay? Yes, it is. For a stint of time. But it's very difficult.
Okay, I told you this before, Tracy. This just something simple that I did. We were living in a house during that period of time where it was fuel oil and the furnace was incredibly inefficient. The landlord wouldn't replace it. It would have cost us about $1,000 a month to heat our home that winter. Absolutely did not have that kind of money. I was doing pest control at the time, and I ran across a customer who had an old wood-burning furnace, a furnace that would hook into your existing duct system that burnt wood. I asked the gentleman if I could purchase it from him. He said if I would get it out of his basement, he would give it to me. I took it home and I hooked it up. That summer, I went all around and found downed trees, found people that I knew that had some kind of property or woods, thought I might clear out their woods for them if they'd let me have their wood. I got enough wood collected that I was able to heat my entire house that winter without a bill. Now, I don't think that that is, like, completely out of the ordinary. That, just to me, was somebody who didn't want to spend $1,000 a month, so he put a little bit of back into it and was able to heat his house all winter without any cost. That's the kind of stuff that we're talking about, I believe.
But what I'm saying is you can for a period of time, and the number is 347-945-5229, and found that our guest is not going to be calling in, so we'll have to reschedule with him. So we will go into some freedom of speech stuff. And so I agree, it can be done. It can be. And you can live that, but it's unrealistic to think that people can live that way for a long stint of time. Not to where, because when he says $1,500 in care, and that's your deductible, am I correct?
Per year.
Is that your deductible for the year?
For the entire year.
And that takes one shot out, and you pay $500 a month, depending on your disease and your age
right. And
your lifestyle.
Right.
Mine was $700 a month.
Okay. But according to what I was reading, after you hit a certain plateau, it was 100% paid.
But it's $700 a month. It's $700 a month. Fill me with this.
Mm-hmm.
If you make $1,400 a month, then, and yeah, you can go into Medicaid.
Yeah, $1,400 a month, you should qualify for Medicaid.
But then you go into the government system. Am I correct? And they care for you. So what we're doing is we're just trading apples and oranges. If you're willing to be on, a government assistance program, am I correct?
Correct.
Which means if you have a car.
I don't know what the criteria is to qualify for Medicaid assets.
That's what I'm saying. If you have a house or if you have a car and it's worth more than a certain amount, it's a mess.
I understand there's hard choices that we all have to make.
So what do you do? So the house that you have, you now get rid of. Or if you have a life insurance policy, you no longer have that.
Right.
I mean, come on.
But life is full of hard choices.
That ain't a hard choice. That's an impossible choice.
Is that choice still there at all anymore, or is it gone?
What?
The choice we're talking about with this particular high-risk pool.
We're talking about something that doesn't exist anymore.
I don't know, but it
exists. No, it doesn't.
It doesn't exist anymore.
46 of 50 states have kicked their high-risk pools to the feds.
But what I'm saying is,
in Ohio,
lifestyle.
So now you've traded that system for a system where you're going to pay $1,200 a month, whether you got it or not.
We didn't ask for the lifestyle. The whole system is all corrupt. The whole system is wrong. We need to understand that. The system is making it. I have never seen anything like America to where everything now, they want you to become a part of the government. They want you to be part of the system. But living in unrealistic views like that causes us to be kicked into the system.
But the thing is, medical care costs money.
You're missing my point. Unrealistic views that causes me to now we have Obamacare.
No.
Yes. The reason unrealistic views were having seven people in a four-passenger car and living on potato soup with two pair of socks and a dress like my mama did in 2013 is the reason why we have Obamacare.
I disagree.
I know.
Because I just believe we live in a society that doesn't want to pay for the things it receives.
That's not true. I want you to give me access so that I can. When you send a child to school and you don't educate the child comes out of school uneducated after 12 years.
Right. Go ahead.
Whose fault is that?
May I say something?
Yes.
I think it's not a matter of people not wanting to be successful. I think it's a matter of not having the opportunities to become successful. There aren't many jobs in America, and like the ones that we do have require education.
What would you say if I told you there's 3 million jobs that go unfilled every year in the United States
of
America?
Did you hear her last statement? She said, and they require education. If you send me to school for 6 hours a day,
right,
for 9 months a year, for 12 years,
and you can't read and write, there's a problem.
And I still walk across the stage, and I still do not have an education.
The system has failed you.
Who failed who? Is it my fault, or is it the system that they have made me dependent upon?
I would say it's your parents' fault and the system's fault.
My mama went through the same system.
Here's the thing, Tracy. I understand you're saying that your mama was in the same system, but it wasn't to the same degree it is today. I mean, you've got a situation where people have been lazied. I mean, you know, it's just plain lazy.
But are they lazy, or is the system? Or the system makes. Do you realize? And I'm being honest about this, and I'm going to take a break. But I want you. The reason why I'm saying this is because I can do better, indigent, than I can productive.
Right. The system makes you lazy. I agree.
For you to say that there's like enough opportunity for everybody, I honestly think that's a very
but there is not true at all. There's opportunity there.
Yeah, well, you're aware there's 3 million jobs.
In your position.
What kind of job?
Tracy.
Yes.
STEM jobs.
Again,
it requires
a knowledge base that you never gave me coming up.
Right now we're
working on two or three generations that do not have common sense and or education.
If I went to a high school that had a subpar science and math program and I didn't have the money to go to college and you expect me to come out of that and be qualified for a STEM job, then...
Something's wrong.
Let me put it to you this way.
Very unrealistic.
Let me put it to you this way, and then this will be clarify a lot of stuff. People are lazy, and I'm going to tell you. Back after slavery, there was a great migration. And around 1915, there was another great migration. After the Dust Bowls, there was another great migration from the South into the North. Why? Because people were looking for jobs and people wanted jobs. Today, when people have become sedentary, they stay where they want, where they're at, and they become content, and they do not want to move where the jobs are. If
but
you want a job and you
South
need
Carolina.
A job, you go to South Dakota, go where the jobs are, Tracy. I mean, you're a young man.
You're missing my point, South Carolina. You've got generational.
This is not about race. You're saying that people are conditioning themselves.
They're conditioning themselves.
And people can break out of that.
If you give them opportunity to break. But look, we have killed the American dream. And fix it.
I disagree. We haven't killed the American dream. We've killed the American incentive. Two hugely different things.
No, we've killed the dream.
No, we've killed the incentive.
No.
I can take anybody that can read a tape measure, and if you listen to me, by the time you're 30, after you graduate high school, you'll be a millionaire.
Six.
Anybody.
Six.
I'll take you up on that. I don't want to be a millionaire by
listen,
the time
six.
I'm 30.
Are you willing to do what it takes?
Six. The dream, I no longer believe that I could actually achieve what you just said.
A little more downside pressure in the market.
In America, they have beat the dream out of Americans.
That's what I said. They've removed the incentive, not the dream. The dream's still there.
The
dream's still attainable.
The dream's not there. I don't dream it anymore. It's
more than just them dreaming it. It's the nature of the dream that's changed. The dream has changed from something being attainable to something people are entitled to, and there's a big difference in how they approach it. They sit back. You know, I've been listening to this, and I'll tell you what. At the end of the day, you know what society owes anyone at all? Nothing. They don't owe anybody anything. We have had 50 years of Head Start, and they still can't come out and read. You mentioned subpar programs in the schools. Let me tell you something about the Youngstown City schools. Their cost per student is almost a quarter more than they're paying out of the suburbs, a quarter to a third more. More than they might be paying $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 per student. Some of the city schools are paying $12,000, $13,000, $14,000 per student.
Are you saying that you don't believe in basic human rights?
No, I'm saying that you basic human rights for what? If the school says, here's the program, here's your homework, go home and do it.
Yes, but for you to say that society, a person isn't entitled to anything in society.
Are you entitled to a big screen TV? Are you entitled to a car? What are you entitled to?
I think that the simpler question is, do you believe you are entitled to anything that requires an action of another person?
There you go.
I'm not sure.
Hold on, Sal. This is the question, and I got to go take a break. But this is my question. The entitlement, it's the dream that I once had now has become the lottery fix. That's how you can have a lottery that goes up to $600 million. And everybody sends a dollar in. They incentivize you not working. I'm serious.
But where we're at, we're at the two Americas. We're at the Americas from the FFA kids we had in here who don't look at this way.
But it's two
different Americas.
But listen to this. So if the problem that we have in Youngstown City Schools could be fixed with the FFA, why is FFA not in Youngstown City Schools?
Ask your school administrators.
I'm on a school board. I've been on the board. The question is, why is it not there?
I don't know.
Why don't you
hire a VOAG teacher and start the program if you're on the school board?
Six. For you to say that the incentive is gone doesn't make any sense because American culture is obsessed with wealth. It's obsessed with status.
No, it's not. It's obsessed with free wealth.
No, it's not.
It's not obsessed with earning wealth.
No, because I work every day, and I've been working since I was 14, and I'm still not a millionaire, and I'm still in debt. I'm still working every day. And if I die today, I'm still going to be happy, but it's not because I have not worked. So hard work does not make me successful.
Yeah, Tracy, the issue comes down to is we created an atmosphere in this country where hard work doesn't pay off anymore, and that's what's happening.
And the dream.
I agree with that.
And people have lost the fulfillment of the dream. They no longer dream it because they don't think it's attainable.
Sir.
And they just go and they're zombies because we don't have pride in America because no matter how hard I work, no matter what I do, I don't see education pay off. I don't see hard work pay off. I see my mama doing everything and it's not working.
Tracy.
That's
a perception because I'm seeing people that are successful working hard every day.
And what I'm saying is, I see people working hard every day going absolutely
nowhere.
But the problem is poverty is excessive effort with minimal returns, and wealth is minimum effort with maximum returns.
This is not about wealth. It's just about success. It's all I want is a house, a car,
listen,
and a white picket fence. I'll be right back.
Tracy, success is relative to the individual. To one person, success is having a lifestyle of P. Diddy. To the other person, is having an apartment and maybe a car and food on their table every night. My idea of success may not be your idea of success. So to say that because everybody hasn't reached the benchmark, then there's no success and the dream is dead, I can't agree with that. Hello?
Worked out well with the fundamentals. I know that it's
Hello?
The fundamentals haven't changed, but would you be open to listening to a
Brown?
They include
they're on break, South Carolina.
And I can arrange it where it can all go through.
I lost everything. I mean,
to be honest, I get what you're saying, but I don't know anybody who just has an apartment and a car and thinks they're successful. Even if you come up out the hood, they may look at their circumstances and say, you know, I'm better off now than I was. But that's not all that people have attaining, are looking for, are looking forward to.
What I'm saying, success is relative. I mean, you know, it's just like somebody saying rich, being rich. Rich is relative. It all depends on how you define what being rich is.
Yeah, but most people who, to say that, yes, success is subjective to the person, but most people feel success is owning their own home, having one or two cars in the driveway, being debt-free. That's most people's success. Then you got somebody who wants to be the millionaire, wants the rich and famous lifestyle. But I don't know anybody who feels success is just having a job that you got to work 40 hours a week and don't like it, and then all you got to show for it is an apartment that you're renting and a car that keeps breaking down on you.
Well, for some people that is success. I mean, that's better than what
they work. I don't know anybody who thinks that's success.
Diva.
I don't know anybody who
Diva,
came
there
up
there are a lot of people. There are a lot of people that say that, though, Diva. There are a lot of people. When a black woman gets a job, she's a school teacher, she's called successful. You look at ABC specials, they got women. They're all called successful. They all had jobs. They all, but two of them had owned a home. They
Being a teacher
for
is
that.
Not a job. That's a career. That's different.
Oh, okay. So, as long as you're working for somebody
and it's more prestigious,
that's the person
who obtained a goal. So if you reached your goals, then yes, you're going to consider yourself successful. But I don't know anybody who has just worked a 40-hour job that basically barely that doesn't like their job and just has an apartment and a car to show for it, consider themselves successful. If that's your goal in life, okay. But man, that's a very low goal.
I don't consider that successful being a school. I don't consider being a school teacher a success. Why is it? Let me say this right here. Our standards are very low because black women, especially, they're called strong, successful black women, and a lot of them are school teachers or just got regular jobs. Our standards are low because for you, you're supposed to be barefoot, fat, pregnant in the projects on welfare. And so you're successful because you didn't do that. We got very low standards as black, especially black women.
Right. Being a teacher, you don't see being a teacher.
Call in now to talk to Tracy and friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM.
I'm not worried on anything but what's making me happy. Hey, we're back, and I am going to take a break in a few minutes because I am behind. I didn't take my break, and so I've got to take my top of the hour break pretty soon, and I'm going to fight with Chicken and Mark, and then we're going to come back and talk about.
You can't fight with me.
Yes, we can.
You can't fight with me either. I'm happy now.
Because
at the end of the day, we're going to be trying to hug and go home.
That's something different. I'm going to fight with you guys because I'm just...
Winter clothes in the summer.
Okay. I'm going
Can you
to,
mute Brown, please?
I did.
Why am I hearing a conversation?
Because his mic was on and he went somewhere else and held a conversation. Hey, Holly, 330, I think that's Jeff. 330-557, hello, Alabama, South Carolina, your mic is on. Beasley, you're off because you were talking too loud. And Diva, hello, welcome to the show. 212, your mic is on if you want to talk. I don't get me wrong, budgeting is good, spending money wisely is good. I agree with all that. But I'm here to tell you, they have killed. I mean, people live for today because they don't believe the tomorrow. And if you don't believe that, go out and ask them.
I think that depends what community you're talking to.
No, I'm talking about every community almost in America.
Those aren't the people that I live around.
Oh, okay, maybe you're farmers or not.
Me neither, Sticks.
I don't know the inner city.
Yeah, well, I mean, inner city people, Tracy. They don't have anything to do with the real America.
When I go hang out with my people who live in trailers, they feel the same way.
They drink a
six pack of beer at the end of the night because there's no hope.
Can I say something about American culture? I think 31%. Classism is rampant.
Hold on, Jeff.
I'm sorry, Jeff. I think classism is rampant in American culture. I think America is a country that just simply hates the poor.
That's not true.
Well, I take that.
America, the government does hate the poor.
Yeah. Oh, I agree with that.
The government does.
I think the government wants to keep the poor poor.
Right.
We like it when poor people manage to pull themselves up by their bootstraps, which is a rarity, but I...
That's not...
Well, it's not,
not a rarity.
Let me put it this way.
Today it is.
Let me put it this way, okay? Forgive me, I'm a sociology minor, but it's not a rarity if you're white, straight, size, gender, male, and middle class. It's not a rarity to become extremely successful in America if you meet those criteria.
How do you answer the fact that 20% of the households in the United States will reach the top 2%?
When? What year was that study done?
This year, last year.
I honestly think that's laughable.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, first of all, you know, you're making a mistake. In the United States, we give 75% of the world's giving. So for you to say that is sort of like a ridiculous statement.
Hold on, Jeff.
Yeah.
We give 75% of giving away. Am I correct? But with that 75%,
yes,
where do we give it?
Well, it depends. We give it to all types of different things, Tracy. We give it to the poor primarily.
Where do we give it? Where?
We give it to the poor primarily.
Where?
We always do. All over. You give it to the programs in the inner city.
I don't see them. You go to food banks. Here in America or abroad?
Here in America and abroad. I don't understand. We give out of everywhere that we can give. We have food banks. We have churches with pantries. We have our welfare system and the food stamp system. You've got to be out of your mind to think that you are not giving to the poor in this country. Okay, we give a lot to the poor, and still there's plenty of people that take advantage of what is given to the poor and misuse it. That's where you're having the problem at, where you think you don't have enough. You have more than enough. But the thing is it's not being directed. What is happening is your government and your political entity on the left is merchandising the poor. They use the poor for cheap labor, and they use the poor for cheap votes to stay in power.
Well, that I agree with. That we agree. We were talking about living. This conversation, and I've only got about 3 minutes. This started out about paying for health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
At a sizable amount, and I'm saying people are not willing to do that. Not then, and that's how we got to Obamacare, because we didn't make it affordable health care. We just made it, you can get it for this amount, and it would eat away everything that you had.
Well, you gave what you did was you gave Mr. Obama, who was a Marxist socialist, control of 1/6 of your economy, had nothing to do with servicing you for health care. Because if you see the debacle, and he doesn't give a rat's butt about the negative things that people are finding themselves in, the people that were doing fine, and then he changed it for them, and now they have to pay twice as much, 3 times, and just like me, I can't even have my wife on my own plan. See, these are the things that are ridiculous.
That's what I'm saying. Go ahead, Alabama. I only got a minute.
Yeah, I was listening. I agree with Jeff. I just think black people, that we're the wealthiest black people on the planet, yet we are the poorest in this country. That just shows you how wealthy this country is.
Right.
And if you go to a bad school and you get out with a 2.5 GPA, you go to college, you can get out. Anybody can get out. I'm not talking about a 4.0 brightest of the bright. Average student can get a degree, get a job, and make some of themselves. All you got to do is just want something for yourself.
I got to take a break, but let me say this. I disagree wholeheartedly with that statement anymore, because when you go to school, when you start out I think Mark said it during the break, at Head Start, and by the third grade you still can't read, and we know you can't read, and no one does anything about you not being able to read, and then you graduate and you can't read, then who failed who, especially when we're into our third generation of people not being able to read?
But, Tracy, I went to remedial reading, Tracy. I was in remedial reading when I was in elementary school. I mean, I wasn't the best student. I got out with a 1.9 GPA. So,
but that is
I won, but
year.
I won something.
But that was then. Nowadays, the education system seems like they really don't care. Their parents don't seem like they care. Because I find it very hard to believe that you have someone in 10th grade who's gotten there and cannot learn and does not know how to read. Now,
wait
that's how more likely have
wait,
a learning.
Wait. You think people back in the – I got graduated in 94. You think people in 94 cared more?
No, because they had a lot more programs, whether you were in the suburbs or in inner city. They had so many more reading programs geared towards helping kids second. I don't see that now. I really don't.
And they didn't help before.
When I was growing up, they had the little reading room. They had the little reading schoolhouse back in the back with one schoolhouse. They don't have that now. Maybe that's just the school district or the area that I live in. They don't really have those resources. They put it all on the parents.
I'm saying because more money is being spent on education than back then, and it still sucks. What's the problem?
It's a plan. We're not seeing as a people, and we're not seeing as a nation. They made a thing called the Black Codes that said that they were going to let blacks get educated, but they'll never let them raise to the level of being educated like white people. Those people are still in control, and they're called the Democrat Party. I'm sorry. They keep you in that state with the unions, and when you keep on spending more and more on this educational system, when you can sit up and look at Chicago and look at the Urban Academy. Wait a minute, the one thing I'm saying, you got the Urban Academy in Chicago, 100% black participation, 100% black, male graduation, 100% black, go to college and graduate. How does it happen with them when it can't happen with your own city schools? I don't care. Yeah. They have the same parental problems in that school that everybody else has.
Well, Jeff, you know, the only, and I agree with you, this Michigan.
Yeah.
I guess the only thing where I think you kind of go off track, and particularly right there with when you called them the Democrat Party.
Absolutely.
Now, and I know, hold on, Jeff. First of all, I know you know better than that.
I absolutely believe it, guys. I see it being done.
Okay. The ruling class and the class system within America is cut along racial lines, not political party lines. And I know you know that.
But
I think this is where you do a disservice to the people by Mickey Mousing the issue into Democrats and Republicans, and I know you know better because I listen to you. So you're not helping people by saying that, huh? Well, see, this thing about disagreeing.
I'm listening.
Well, you can disagree with you. Just don't disagree with the facts.
No, I didn't say nothing. I'm agreeing with you.
South Carolina. I heard South Carolina in the background saying he disagrees. So just disagree with the facts. This issue about the giving, if you do a study, it's called the Politics of Philanthropy. Now, this illusion that America is a giving nation, 98% of all giving is political giving, and you can track it and see where it comes from. And it comes from corporate, what you call it, autocracy, and these guys looking to skate around taxation and things of that nature. It has nothing to do with something in their heart or a little man standing on their neck saying give to the poor or some feeling they're getting. This is all bull crap. Now, you can disagree with what I said, but let's see you disagree with the facts. Go do the study.
They're going to Michigan.
Well, the only thing that I'll say is when you're talking about the 98% going to political giving, that has nothing to do with the giving to the poor. But I'm just saying, 75% of all that we give to the poor, of all that's given to the poor worldwide, is given from the United States of America, whatever that amount may be,
When these corporations give overseas, man, these are political moves. They have they don't care nothing about no poor. They
have nothing to do with what I said.
What?
It doesn't matter why they gave. I said we give 75% of the world's giving.
Alrighty.
It's a fact. 75%.
You talking so quietly. You ain't never this.
Y'all mute y'all. Michael can't even hear.
It really, when you have a different worldview, it really is hard to communicate well. when you have a different worldview. It's just hard to communicate well. You know. I know, it really is. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
Well, Michigan.
Yeah.
I can kind of agree with a lot of the stuff you say, man. It's just I'm more conservative than you. But I agree with a lot of the stuff you say. It's just that, I mean, like the racial lines come in. A lot of this stuff, man. I don't think a lot of people, I think it a lot of times, like the Democrat, Republican, I kind of get away from that myself because I do see it as being more political than it's more political than we want to all lead on and admit.
I need a box that is at least 18 inches long this way.
To me, it's more about just looking at the facts, and they kind of give you an answer. Now, if you have a different world,
he has
what
the right,
Bill
Robinson, to say exactly what he wants.
You'll give a different
say,
answer.
This is America, but this is what happens when you have true freedom of speech. You can say these things, and then you have to suffer the consequences. Look at what happened to Paula Deen when she made comments on which he was accused of using the N-word and admitted to it. It's offensive to me. I do believe in the right to free speech, but I think the marketplace should decide what should happen to this franchise, and it has been put on hold now. It's deeply offensive to many people, and it shows that a lack of awareness on the part of certain individuals in this country when it comes to how other people live and the rights that other people should have. And I think here's what's important. When we talk a lot about this, and I know people are going to be, there's going to be some uproar if I say this, when people talk about, you know, the country that we used to have and taking our country back and all of those sorts of things, he believes that the popularity of this show, and he said as such, and I'm paraphrasing from the GQ article, that it was recompense for the things that many people have lost in this country, especially Christians, by taking the Ten Commandments away from buildings and by removing religious emblems or symbols from buildings. So I think it's a lack of awareness and that the way other people live. And, yes, it is deeply offensive to many people.
Well, we're back to listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. I told you I wasn't turning mics on yet. I told you. Didn't I say I wasn't turning on mics? I told y'all I did not say it. I said it out loud. Your mic's not on. Nobody's mic's on. I think your mic's not on either. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I told everyone that I was going to switch over to Duck Dynasty and talk about this. So agree or disagree with me and or stick, whatever. Freedom of speech does not have consequences if you're truly free.
That's true.
What happened to Paula Deen was bad. Duck Dynasty, this guy right here, if he wants to call you the N-word, in America, you ought to have the right and the freedom to say it. I am maybe offended, and I have the right to be offended. But I think we're going on a slippery slope. If I can't call what I think in my heart and in my mind and speak out of my lips, the Constitution still stands. And what's going on right now, we're getting ready to go into a politically correct, crazy place, and I have major issue with it. And if you really, really think about what's getting ready to happen and what is happening very, very slowly, it's coming to a place near you. And when you lose your freedom to speak, when you lose your freedom of thought, and you refuse the freedom to be different, then you will lose your freedom. And all the stuff we talk about, the Constitution and the Bill of Rights and the entitlement and all that, we are selling our souls to the devil, and he does not have the pitchfork and horn. Hi, Mark. Go ahead. Go ahead, Mark. You can go.
I'm loud.
Allowed.
I'm allowed.
You're loud now.
Okay.
I had to get that out.
Good. No, I want to come out. I can't stand on it.
Well, good.
I want to know why. I can listen to John Podesta sit and equate me and my beliefs and the people I associate with that Guyana Jonestown massacre, and said that we belong to that, and that's what we believe in, when they were killing representatives and they killed 1,000 people. That's offensive. That's offensive to me. And nobody cares about what's offensive to me. And he tweets, oh, gee, I'm sorry, that was a bad thing to say. It's happened over and over and over again. When I get on Facebook and my friends who are so-called liberals post some of the most hateful things I have seen anywhere, and knowing full well that I'm looking at them, I'm supposed to overlook that. I'm not those things. I'm not a baby killer. I'm not somebody who causes people to commit suicide. Now, these guys, I don't watch Duck Dynasty. They're not my, it's not my kind of show. But you know what? Everybody needs to grow up. And I'm tired of all of this garbage. Because I'm not going to be afraid to say what I think. And, if, you know, you mentioned Paula Deen. Yeah, she used the N-word 30 years ago. Find me somebody who didn't 30 years ago.
As a matter of fact, have you listened to a song lately? I think I'll play a couple.
Yeah. So, it's one set of rules for us. It's another set of rules for them. And A&E ought to be ashamed. They ought to be ashamed. And the Food Network should have been ashamed for what they did to her. Just bad, bad, bad. But that's the world we live in. When the White House people could come out and say that, the Podesta should have been fired on the spot.
Well, Mark, the thing is, Mark, he said it's the economic ramifications. The economic ramifications would have been viewership on the show would have went down.
Maybe.
That's the economic ramifications that should have been, if there were any ramifications.
They suspended. Listen, people lose their jobs because they were suspended. Do we not understand? I mean, if I go do an interview, I shouldn't be taken off the air because you disagree with what I say or how I say it. Don't listen to me.
Right.
And I promise you, if you don't listen to me and my ratings go down, then that's something different. But to fire me, to suspend me, and to cast me aside because I said something that it was offensive to somebody, it's just wrong. 212, your mic is on. 330-212, your mic is on.
Hello?
Yes.
You can hear me?
Hi. Yes, we can.
Okay. Yeah, it's just pretty ridiculous that this guy's has to go through this. I read what he said. It was his opinion. But his rights... This has nothing to do with the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. The Constitution and the Bill of Rights state that the government is not going to restrict your free speech. He has a job, and he works for a company, and his company has to sell advertising to the public. And if anybody, this is nothing new. The gay lobby is pretty strong. It's pretty strong, and anyone that has said anything, anti-gay, is catching a lot of heat.
I'm just saying.
And maybe he should have been smart enough to sidestep that question.
No. I should be able to say what I choose.
The government,
I should be able. America says there's a freedom of speech, the freedom to assemble. If the Ku Klux Klan can hold a rally and go down the street, that's their business. If Paula Deen wants to sing the N word down,
you're not in, Mao.
Listen, if Paula Deen wants to sing the N word,
you're not disagreeing. You're just not listening to Brown.
I have to wonder if Christian would have said something. If a non-Christian would have said something on the lines that was negative towards Christianity, would the same situation have happened?
Of course not.
No. Exactly. It would not.
Bill Maher sits on TV all day, every day, and dogs us out. And even President Obama said
dogs everybody out. Bill Maher is an equal opportunist. He is against religion, not Christians. He's against religion, period. So he's an equal opportunist. But nine times out of ten.
No, Bill Maher is not equal to
Muslims.
Bill Maher is smart. Bill Maher knows he don't want to get blew up. He don't say nothing to Muslims like he do. He'll say a little something to Muslims, but not like he do against Christians. Because he knows better.
May I say something?
Hold on. I got some calls in here.
Okay.
Go ahead. 269, your mic is on.
Well, I was just saying, I don't necessarily think that you and I think that was Brown, his points are not agreeable. I think you were just not listening to what Brown was saying, which he's absolutely correct. It's not a matter of him not being able to say what he wants to say, but in the business world, if what he says hurts that business, hell, I would get rid of him too.
So he hasn't hurt his business yet.
Wait,
you don't
wait
know
a
that.
Minute. Wait a minute.
Yeah,
wait a minute.
That's just it. He
what does
said
that
it.
Have to do?
He said it.
If
it
that
didn't
corporation
hurt
believes,
yet.
If that corporation believes that what he says will hurt their bottom line, then they have a decision to make. And if they make the decision to get rid of him based off that, you don't run around whining. That's a business decision. And
here's why I
said
that's
not
what
they
did.
That's
not what they did.
What?
That's not what they did.
They didn't like what he said.
Exactly. Because his viewership, who watches
his
show?
Viewership is going to go up.
You got Christians watching that
maybe.
Show, conservatives
watch
watching that show.
Watch the rest of the family sits down.
So the economic ramifications, that's
BS. I don't know.
What did you say, Diva?
I said the so-called economic ramifications, that's BS. Because look at who watches his show. I don't know any liberal who really sits there and watches that show. I don't know, probably not a non-conservative. Most people watch that show think like him. So
but
I don't think his viewership will go down. I don't think the ratings will hurt when it comes to that
Diva,
show.
I
don't
think
the sponsors will pull out
go
on
up.
That show.
They would go up.
You got to understand.
I mean, with the merchandising.
One at a time, guys.
With the merchandising, there's got to be people of all political persuasion watching that show. You can't walk into a store. I walked into Books A Million the other day. They got a Duck Dynasty display.
Hey, they got a Duck Dynasty Chia Pet.
Yeah.
May I say something about branding? I believe as a figurehead, it's somebody's professional responsibility to uphold the ethics and values of the brand. That's why Paula Deen got penalized. That's why she lost her sponsorship.
27 years ago?
What did you say?
27 years ago.
That's when she said that, yeah.
I thought there was a reason.
No,
that
was
it.
No,
it was 27
inward.
Years ago.
Goodness
there
was
gracious.
Other things
so
going
what
on.
What would you call that? Told you you'd get beat up in here.
But Paula Deen's situation was more
than had far worse.
And as far
do you realize, and that's the problem, you are like everyone else in America. They thought she said it yesterday. She said it 27 years ago.
And as far as Phil Robertson goes, that is the brand, because that's what they've always been.
I must be getting...
But hold on. I think you guys are missing something, though. You guys are missing something on this whole thing, because I look at it like this. If I own a company, just like how Michigan said, even though that part of his listenership or his viewership isn't gay or homosexual or liberal, you do have, because the A&E is a, just like Bravo, half, about 60% of their shows are homosexual. So, I mean, these people, they deal with that, and they're using, they want to keep the racism thing up because they're not going to really help black people, but they want to use that
they're
so they can force through the homosexual. Well, look, I think that these organizations and they want to keep, they screen racism not to really help people. They screen racism so they can push homosexuality. So they got to have that door open. So homosexuality is really, see, they organized. We ain't. They got, because nobody's really picking on gay people for real. But they finna take over. They going to get to do whatever they want to do, teach children whatever, indoctrinate. And there's nothing anybody can do about it because they got lobbies in Washington. They got closet homosexuals in Washington, and they organize. We're not. Black people aren't organized. So Paula Deen is completely different. They have to keep that whole racism gate open so they can keep forcing through all these other agendas.
Alabama, listen to this. What they did was, I honestly believe that homosexuality is an abnormal sexual behavior. And if people choose to live that way, that's their business. But it's the same abnormal behavior as bestiality. It's the same abnormal behavior as pedophilia. I still think it's all abnormal sexual behavior. I said it out loud. Now, he might have been a little bit more graphic in what he said. He may not have been politically correct in how he said it, but he has the right as an American citizen to say what he chooses.
You just got yourself
fired.
Well,
he did say it.
Goodness gracious.
He did say it.
She did, because that's exactly
what
Phil Robertson said.
That's what he said.
So what
he just said was the exact words he said.
in my I believe that homosexuality as a sexual abnormality, and it is a sin according to what I believe as the Word of God. I believe that, and I'm Tracy Winbush.
Well,
now, if you don't believe it, that's your business.
You are
okay,
one
with Tracy. Nobody's coming
to
push me in jail for that.
Tells me I can say that. And the day that you start persecuting me for what I say is the day America dies.
So I can go cuss
right
somebody
now,
out
America
at my job. I can go cuss the guy out at the job and we good.
Say what's on our mind.
He's a public.
Okay, I can
no,
repeat.
No,
as long as I don't cuss
you
out and I say I don't like you, you're a CEO of the company. I can cuss you out, tell you I don't like you, and I keep the job.
Tracy's
mixing up two things.
What two things?
Other people's livelihoods.
What our livelihood? They didn't even give him a chance yet. They said they didn't like what he said, and so they canceled it. He can make more money. He can do like Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A made more money because they came out and said that they didn't.
Absolutely, and his career is definitely not over, and he's going to find, he's probably going to find, like,
But
here's the thing. What you have to understand, Annie, is it's a double-edged sword on this. If they can do it for him for that, who died and left them God? I mean, this is a campaign and a crusade, not only dealing with this issue, but a lot of issues from the left. You're demonized if you don't buy into what their narrative is. You're the devil, you're bad, you're evil, you're terrible. And it doesn't work that way.
Or you clean through your bottom and guns.
One of these days,
the shoe's
going
to be
on the other. And if they can do it to them, they can do it to you. And they'll do it to you because that's how it works. These are not nice people.
And that's a problem.
Here's the problem I have.
Freedom.
Here's the problem I have.
And if you hold on, Diva. If I should be able to say as I feel. Right now, you see more screwing, cussing, and everything else on television because of freedom of speech.
Bobby Jindal, I think, said it, yes. In this country, Miley Cyrus is being glorified while this guy is being persecuted. Now,
Miley Cyrus is far from glorified.
Oh, yeah?
She is.
Oh, yeah? She's still on. They're bringing her on the TV show. She did one of the other music shows last week.
Well, she gets
they love
she
her.
Gets business. She
they
gets
love
work,
Miley Cyrus.
So does Duck Dynasty. So the question is, why can't you do both?
Yeah, if I was...
And he has a problem with Christians. I'm sorry. And I'm as liberal on this show as probably anybody else. But I can speak the truth on it. Society has a problem with Christianity. They have a problem with Christians. And if you can't see it, I'm sorry. Your eyes are closed.
Hold on, Diva. Who just said let me in?
Bill.
Hi, Bill. How are you? Hi, 440.
I'm doing fine. Hi. If you guys let me say this without getting walked on, I'll tell you what's going on. Bill wanted to leave the show because his business is getting too large, all right? A&E and him contrived this, all right? The other people on the show wanted to stay. Phil is taking time off. That's what this is all about. And look at the publicity that he got. It's all played into what he wants. He's bigger than ever.
No, you're right. No,
I'm not going to argue with you because Kim Kardashian got big and they had a bunch of fake weddings and they lied and everything. They just a bunch of crooks, but they came up. They made some money.
Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear somebody.
And then I wanted to say this. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas. And I like women's plumbing. So that's it.
I mean, here's exactly... With the exception of the attempt at humor, here's exactly what he said, 1 Corinthians 6:8-10. On the contrary, you yourselves wrong and defraud. You do this to even to your brethren. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor the covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And he quoted that scripture in the article. Again.
Well, Sticks,
again.
They know that, though,
hold
Sticks.
On.
You ain't got to read. People know the truth. They just playing.
They
know.
They don't know. Hold on. Alex, your mic is on. Your mic was on.
Alex, your mic is on.
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can. Alex? 412?
Hello? Hello? Can you hear me?
Hey, Alex.
Okay. Sorry about that. I read what Phil said.
Tried to hit you up yesterday, man.
Yeah, I was in the meeting, man. But
he out making money.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. Trying, you know. But yeah, I read what Phil said, and he called, you know, homosexual gays, homosexual offenders, and he said that black people, he said that they basically they weren't suffering before the civil rights era, and you know, I think both of them are both comments are probably equal. Well, they're both insensitive, probably. But and you know, you're talking about Paula Deen. I'm gonna tell you, I am an advocate for free speech. He should be able to say whatever he wants to say. Okay, but see, freedom of speech does not give you freedom from consequence. And I think that I do not think that he should, you know, be his network should remove him or whatever, unless the business doesn't feel like it's, you know, in their interest to promote those views or whatever. But what's more important to me here, though, what I find really odd is, especially a man of you know, African ancestry, is that we tell all the time black men that they need to, black men and women, that they need to conform to the mainstream standards of society, you know, and we keep screaming at black people, especially black men, to conform to the standards of greater society. Yet, you know, but we at the same time we turn around and defend a white guy to you know, call us, you know, N-words and stuff. It just seems like there's something really backwards here. Now, I defend anybody's free speech, you know, but I'm not going to come out and defend this guy. It doesn't make any sense, Alex,
to his defense. This is to my defense.
I want to be able to say
whatever I choose. If you want to call me the N-word, you have the right to do so. But the day, if you can't call me the N-word, I can't call you the W-word. And see, what's happening is they're making it too hard for people to say what's really on their mind, and you're being punished for it.
Tracy, can I give you a practical example? If I start cutting right now, what are you going to do?
I'm going to cut you off.
Now, why would you do that?
Because it's against the law. I am on a public broadcast system. It's against the law. There are certain words I am not allowed to say because
I
am regulated by the FCC.
If I start saying the N-word, what are you going to do?
You can say the N-word. It's not like it's not the first time it'll be heard on this station.
So if
nor
I say
this
nigger,
program.
You're not going to cut me off. So if
nope,
I say nigger,
don't
nigger,
get crazy
you're not going to cut me off.
Nope.
You see, that's the point, though.
No,
there
that's not the point.
Even
is,
to your
the reason,
show.
The reason why
you're mixing
we don't
two
do
things
it.
Up, Tracy. You're mixing two
Listen,
things up.
I'm not
that's
mixing
I'm
those two things up. What I'm saying is free speech is free speech. If it's the N-word or if it's the F-word or if it's that whatever word, I should be able to say it and you should be able to not like it. But the day you start censoring the way we are right now, we're headed for somewhere that we don't want to go. 307, your mic is on.
Hello?
Hello?
Oh, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Oh, my gosh. Well, tell Annie I said hi. This is her mom.
Hang up right now. You're embarrassing me.
I'm sorry. I have been following
hi,
the
mom.
Story with a lot of interest. Hello. Isn't she wonderful? I just love her.
She's hyperventilating.
Yes, her mom.
Oh, she's
wonderful.
Wonderful. She's great. She's putting up with us. Boy, this is she's
getting
up.
She's
in
there.
Yeah.
I told her not to interrupt, and I think that maybe I shouldn't have taught her to interrupt. Get in there, Annie. I've been following this story with interest, and I think that what we're all missing is that we're coming very close to having the 14th Amendment revised and having it include sexual preference as a protected class. I'm just putting that out there.
Protection.
The problem with you is you are incredibly stubborn.
Hey, and you can't say that on the air. I'm sorry. Not allowed. My show, my rules. Can't say that out loud.
You're talking about your mom.
Sorry. See what I mean? The Fourth Amendment being, and you know what? Being a protective class, I don't think you should abuse anyone. And we've talked about this.
But what she said was, I just heard this morning there is a judge in Utah saying that they need to with the homosexual marriage, they need to look at the polygamy laws. Because if same-sex marriage is okay, then polygamy is okay.
Yes, it's a slippery slope.
And we think all of this is okay.
Absolutely.
I'm telling you, pretty soon I'm going to be marrying my dog.
That's
completely. Really, Tracy, I'm going to say this, Tracy. Christians shouldn't have a problem with polygamy. I know that sounds bad. But if you look at it, they really shouldn't.
Let me put it.
Everybody is not an overseer. Everybody is not a pastor. Come on now. I'm gonna be fair now. You got to be fair.
I'm being fair. If we're opening up a Pandora's box. NAMLA's coming to the forefront. We're getting to the place where people believe that whatever they feel like they want to do, they can do it. That's what I said.
Hold on. How could you trip about pedophilia if a man and a woman, if the girl is 7 and the guy 22, you really almost can't trip about it. I mean, it's kind of like that. It really is. I mean,
why can't you trip on
that? I think that makes a lot more sense. That in polygamy makes a lot more sense to me than gay marriage, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm
not
like
even
that.
True because an 8-year-old cannot.
I'm being
fair.
Age of consent in Ohio is 14.
As a matter of fact, if you really look at it, if you go back and how old Annie's mom,
Lisa.
Yes.
Lisa, how old were how old was your great grandparents when they got married?
They were pretty young.
My grandmother was
15. Late teens.
My wife's grandmother was 12.
The climate of today.
Wow.
Okay, now that's sick today. That's considered sick in the head today, isn't it?
So that's sick today. That's bad.
I think that consenting adults that have, like, healthy mindsets should be able to do pretty much whatever they want as long as they're not hurting anybody, honestly.
Right, that means I can hang out with my dog, you can hang out with your cat, we can go sleep with a beast, and you can go find a horse.
Now listen to me.
Everybody's doing good.
Listen to me. A dog cannot consent to sex with you. It cannot.
Oh, but a horse can.
A horse cannot consent to sex with you.
So if you look at, if you go back into the Greeks. No. If you go back to the Greeks. Jeff, are you still on there?
The process
is
ridiculous.
Yeah.
Compare a relationship between.
Jeff, you still out there because you know more about this than I do. How you like that? If I'm not mistaken, back in the Grecian times, there was a lot of bestiality going on. If I'm not
back in what time?
Yes.
Grecian.
You
are correct.
Paul speaks to that in the very same scripture that Phil Robertson referenced.
But the
it's a crime.
But
it's a crime against
what?
What Paul said was that sexual sin is a crime against yourself. It's not only a crime against God; it's a crime against yourself.
Yeah, but that's
also a crime against your own body.
Well, I know we're dealing with people that don't even think like that.
Criticize the liberal media for censoring people when you're censoring people's rights, like what they can legally do.
I'm quoting God's word.
Like,
that's not censoring. It's quoting God's word.
Let's talk about this.
How about that lady in, what was it, Utah? I can't remember. It was one of the western states. She ran a florist shop. She was a born-again Christian. It was her and her husband.
She didn't want to do a cake with two guys on it. I know
she
what you're talking
about. With two women. She didn't want to do the cake with two women. She was fine.
Ran out of business.
She received death threats. I mean, talk about having yourself censored. Oh, my goodness. This woman lost her livelihood over refusing to bake a cake because it was against her beliefs. Is that right?
She should have just made one of them look like a man, because there's always one of them looks like a man anyway.
Here's the livelihood.
I would have been practical. All business is
right.
Good
business. What she needs to do at that point, if in fact her clientele is 90% homosexuals, then she needs to move to a place where there's not as many homosexuals, and so she can make them straight.
It wasn't 90%. All it took was three or four of them. Make sure she goes
right. The guidelines are this.
You can't discriminate regardless of race, color, creed, age, disability, veteran status, or sexual preference.
I don't think sexual preference is in there yet, man.
A sexual preference is not a protected class.
And if it's God's words and you choose to live by them, that's fine. But that doesn't dictate, but your beliefs doesn't dictate another person's behavior or their beliefs.
But you can't make me tell you something, dude. You can't make somebody tell you something they don't want to.
Get another case.
Well, I don't know the circumstances there exactly. I guess you can't make somebody do business with you if they don't want to. But why would I want to do business with anybody that doesn't want to do business with me?
Because why would you do business with someone who you know has that belief?
Well, then that's correct. Then go to Wales.
She had a good reputation. You had the right to go to Wales and get your cake made.
She had a good business reputation.
Hold on. But that's what they use black people in racism for. See, they're not really wanting to help black people, but they got it. Anytime something happens, they want to scream that so they can get this stuff pushed through.
And you're absolutely right about that. I agree with you that it's apples and oranges.
This is the one thing that really frustrates me. The ACLU is fighting to have prisoners be able to make cheaper phone calls. But yet when it comes to something like this, they stay silent. And confusing the Phil Robertson situation with the Paula Deen situation is egregious. Paula Deen said the N-word 27 years ago, but she still provided a culture in the workplace that promoted
What is that noise?
Still had that culture.
I'm sorry, I'm doing dishes.
Voted bigotry. But
you know what? Maybe I should go. I'm enjoying the program. I'm going to go. Tracy,
you're making all that noise
for having me on.
For it.
So I
kind of agree with Alex in Michigan, though. I do think that if you own a company and you come in there with your pants hanging off your butt, if I don't like it and you ain't going to pull your pants up, you're gone. That's just the bottom line.
That's crazy. They have the right to refuse.
You remember when the NBA
told those guys, hey, look, if you're sitting on the bench,
you can't come in with no T-shirts.
That's right. Now, if they didn't like that, you got all this money, then you create a league where you can do that. But as long as they cut your check, ain't no mean you getting on TV whining like some little old punks talking about they restricting what we can wear. That's a punk move. Well, do your own thing then.
Somebody signing your checks, though. I mean, that's the bottom
line. Right.
See, now you're talking about empowerment, economic independence. But see, Michigan, when I make that punt on this show, people disagree with me like I don't know what I'm talking about.
These people just like to argue. I feel sorry for this young girl. They're going to shout her down. They're going to make her cry one day. They jump all over her just because she speaks her opinion, and she's speaking her mind, and it's not what they think.
Who? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Tracy's protege, Lisa.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
How old are you, Lisa? How old are you?
No, her name is Lisa's gone. Lisa's the mom.
Her name is
Annie.
Annie
is in college.
Yeah, she's 19 or 20.
Okay. So I hear that college professor coming. I hear them professors coming out every time she opens her mouth. Go ahead.
We don't
go
call
ahead.
Her Annie. We yeah. call her LS for Little Socialist.
Yeah.
Well, here's the one thing I'll say is the one thing that Brown said was correct, because I believe in the Word of God and everybody else may not. So therefore, it is tantamount that I live accordingly, and I can't expect you to live accordingly because that's what it is. But at the same time,
well, Brown, hold on, Jeff. Well, what's the pedophile in, Jeff?
Let me tell you, I mean,
it's so much more difficult.
You won't let me say something.
Get beside your own. I do know that. Life gets so much more difficult when you try to control or think how other people should do. My mother used to tell me that when I would get frustrated.
Ron, that's where I was coming from, first of all. And the bottom line is that's where we have a big problem at, because we're going to, you know, we're in a secular society. We did have societal standards, but at the same time, if we're not going to take on the standard of the Word of God, we're damn sure not going to take on the standard that you're going to call screwing another man in the behind natural. So,
Michigan, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know when they say Henry Kissinger say we need to use homosexuality as a form of population control within the black communities. Like, I look at homosexuality, when you get in, you're dealing with the family, the construction of the community. I look at that a little bit different than just controlling whether or not. I was just making the case for a young 12-year-old to marry a guy if it's heterosexual. But when you start talking about that, you're dealing with the destruction of a community and its structure, the production of family, the whole way it's structured. I look at that a little bit different. I do.
Well,
even though my religious beliefs, I won't lie like that. But even still, when you start talking about homosexuality, that's all they do. That's on a different level. That's a war. That's a chess game right there.
I need to ask you a question. What the heck do we need birth control in some black community for?
Say what?
What the heck do you need birth control in the black community for?
Because they got to keep the population down because they done us wrong.
You have zero birth in the black community.
Kids don't have them, or people don't have babies when they're not ready to be responsible enough.
Here goes the stupidity of the situation.
Right, yeah. Diva don't know any better. That's why they make those statements.
Hold on. Bullcrap. I'm a black female, and I'm a part of the black community. Don't sit here and tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about when it comes to birth control.
Diva.
Because there's only one reason why a female would take birth control.
The only one that
can
take birth control here.
I'm going to recommend a DVD for you, Diva.
No, you don't have to recommend a DVD for me. I can recommend a
I got it.
No, because the minute you guys don't get what somebody's saying, you call them ignorant. But the moment
I didn't call you ignorant.
Is not an insult. I'm ignorant on certain subjects. That doesn't mean anything.
I don't care.
You just don't call somebody ignorant. You don't call somebody ignorant.
He just said you don't know what these people were planning. These people are planning to destroy you and wipe you off the face of the earth. They don't like you. And you don't know it. And you playing chess.
Right.
They playing chess with you,
though. Right, and they playing chess, right.
Okay, whatever. So you being a man, you know you guys know everything. So
you being a black man,
you know more than everybody. You know what you're talking about.
What?
Okay. The rest of us
that's me. That's me.
You still listen. Look, me and Brown don't agree on everything. I still listen to Brown. I listen to you. And I agree with you a lot of times, Diva. I agree with Brown. I agree with Michigan. And I'm not a liberal. And they said all y'all are liberals. But I'm just saying, like, sometimes you do have to kind of step back and just say, well, dang, maybe I haven't really done enough research to make an intelligent guess on this subject.
I disagree with
everything.
Okay, Mark, did you pull this up?
That's not the one I wanted to pull up. I like that one, too. The one I wanted to pull up was Angels We Have Heard on High. By those guys. That's Carol of the Bells. These guys are pretty good. They're called the Piano Guys.
They're not on piano. They're on cello.
But they do. They got 12 different cellos doing this right now.
Really?
Yeah.
You're listening to Tracy and Friends. The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, the guys are in the chat room. Six, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Mark's here with me. It's Mark Knows It All Thursday, and Annie's in here with us. Her mom called in. Glad to have her with us. She said, ha, ha, ha. That's good. Lisa's cool.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's cool, but...
Wasn't supposed to call in, huh?
It's like when your mom comes to school.
My mom calls in every now and then, too. It's like, oh, are you kidding me?
Yeah, you know how it is. You know that feel.
Yeah, it's like, hello?
I get enough of you at home.
No.
You've
been away at college for so long that we're just trying to, you know, stay close.
I love my mom, but when we start talking politics, it's like we're scratching each other's eyes out.
Why is that? Because you don't know anything yet.
You know what they say, Annie.
What? What do they say?
When you're 20, if you're not a liberal, you don't have a heart. And when you're 30, if you're not a conservative, you don't have a brain.
I thought it was 40.
Well...
No, are we on our way somewhere in between those, Annie, between 20 and 30?
I'm 19.
19?
Right. I am.
Oh,
Jesus, getting the hard part over.
My wife was 19 when we got
married. Hey, I'm going to ask you something. You're in college. I guarantee you got a professor that sit up there and hate Christians, hate the Bible. He's challenged everybody in there. I bet you do, because every college I went to, that's how it was.
Now, I have one professor that he talks about black issues and, like, black rights and, like, the alternative history that doesn't get covered in mainstream textbooks, and people just can't stand him for it, and I think that's ridiculous.
Why? Why
that sounds interesting to me.
Because they're racist and stupid.
Are they racist or are they just ignorant? Because, see, if there's a difference between – we need to really understand – racism is different than prejudice and ignorance.
I suppose I'm a bit cloudy on the definitions.
Because
use them as
prejudice, because it's not. Racism is totally different than ignorance. And ignorance breeds prejudice, and prejudice breeds racism. But they are different.
Race supremacy,
in the
basically. That's about the name of it. Race supremacy, racism.
Right. One person thinks that they're above another person
based upon their race.
Simply,
most races I've encountered have been ignorant as well, though.
Tracy just said.
Did I just not say that?
Ignorance breeds
prejudice.
Prejudice
breeds
racism.
And racism breeds bigotry.
I don't even think it's like a conscious issue. I just think they subconsciously give people of color less respect. They just.
But let me ask this, because we talk about.
Tracy, they don't like their professor because he's preaching a non-European worldview.
But let me ask this. The reason why...
What do you do, man? You must have went to a black nationalist camp or something for 2 years.
No, man.
The drop squad came and got him.
I like Umar Johnson. I like my dose of Umar Johnson every once in a while, man.
I go to Kent State University. I go to what is supposedly the liberal capital of the Midwest, and there are still people that...
But that's not... Liberals are prejudiced. The liberals are very, very, very racist. As a matter of fact, if you look at the Democrat Party, they are a very, very racist group of people, even though they blame it on Republicans.
Right.
The worst racists are racists that don't think they're racist. They'll say, "I didn't know you knew that. I didn't know you were.
Nope.
I didn't know you had the money for that." That's the worst racism to me.
It's so ingrained in our culture and in our society that. We just grow up that way. It's honestly such a shame. It's
it depends on who your parents were.
It's a social construct.
Well, really it's not a shame.
I think it's in the media. I think racism is in the media. I think sexism is in the media. And I think the FCC,
when you're black, sometimes racism is real life, lady.
Yeah.
It can be a person right in front of you, or a situation, or an institution. Racism isn't just in the media. It's not a card. It's a real live issue, and I don't expect you to understand that or have felt it.
Treated me dirty and low down for nothing.
He
was racist.
But hold on. Now listen to guys, and we do this all the time. But we really need to understand it, and because we are. Ignorant in our own perceptions of what's racist, what's prejudiced, and what's ignorant.
Speak for yourself.
I agree.
Speak for yourself.
I am speaking for myself and as well as everybody else because I hear crazy stuff out there.
She's speaking for the collective, man. She ain't talking about you, Brown. She's saying collectively for all the country. She's not talking about you.
Okay.
But you know what happens is blacks mix up racism with white nationalism. And that's a problem for blacks because they don't have black nationalism. We mix up a European culture, something that is natural within a European culture, as racist, and it's not.
But what I said was, listen to what I said, and I don't want to go here because I was talking. I look at George Zimmerman, and I have yet to hear on the mainstream national news. A conversation of was Zimmerman a racist or was he just a wacko? Now he has proven that he is a wacko. And 9 times out of 10, his behavior was not just predicated on the color of Trayvon Martin's skin.
But hold on, Tracy. Legally, he should be locked up.
Alabama, let me finish. Don't get me wrong. The system and how they investigated this, the Trayvon Martin issue, was racist because it was a position of power based upon race and their perception of Trayvon Martin. So the system was racist.
Well, white nationalism.
Let me finish. But George Zimmerman, all in himself, the reason why he attacked Trayvon Martin was not just predicated only on race, but it was predicated on him being a wackadoodle all the way through. But I have yet to hear nationwide.
Hold on. Let's look at RG3. RG3 is a black quarterback in the NFL. You cannot be a prima donna. You being black adds to it. So him walking through in the drizzling rain with a hoodie on, him being black added to his suspicion. Let's not play with that now. Let's come on now. Everybody knows
that.
It may have done so, Alabama, but don't forget that there had been a lot of black people breaking into apartments in that area.
Okay, but you're making my case. So every guy is guilty now.
No, you're not making any case. I'm making my case. And my case says this. It's absolutely the man was just stupid.
Whoa, let him finish.
The man was just stupid. And he was an idiot. He wasn't a racist. He used to help black kids learn how to read. But so my point is that doesn't mean he's not racist, but it does mean he gets involved with people. He was trying to help some people out. So
can I say something about that?
No,
I hear that from conservatives. Look,
a minute there without interrupting. For 1 second, you can say whatever about that, but let somebody get it out first. The man was just crazy. He's stupid. Look at all the stupid stuff he's doing afterwards. Has nothing to do with race. So the thing is, it shows you.
Tracy, can I rebuttal, please?
Yes, but listen, don't talk over him. Talk after him.
Okay.
How to do that, we'll be well.
Oh, okay. The jurors, one of the jurors was on there. She called him by his first name. George, I just felt like George was in danger. George this, George that. Now George is out here putting guns on people. George is out here acting a fool. It's clear that George has had a pattern. He got into a fisticuffs with a cop. And every time I hear a conservative say that, well, he's done this for black people, he's done that, you have to look at the context. Because, like, when he was doing certain things for the police, he had just gotten into it. He was helping that guy with that case. He had just gotten into it with a cop. So, yeah, he had a little cop anger in him at the time that he went out and did that thing against the police. So it wasn't like – let's just not act like, oh, and black kids were in a certain group that he went and did. So it's a kid. It's just like a guy saying a black guy can't play quarterback, but he can play football. Well, he's not racist. They were talking about Mike Shanahan. He's not racist because he has black players on his team. Quarterback is a thinking position. That doesn't – the black man can't play quarterback because he can't think. See, it's a certain way of mindset. Yeah, you can get out there and run big black buck and catch the ball and play quarterback because y'all got speed. But when it comes time to think, racism ain't just I hate blacks, I'm going to go at him. It ain't just always like that. And so when you look at George Zimmerman, you're looking at a guy who has a pattern of violence, and it's clear that this jury cheated and helped this guy get away with cold-blooded murder of an innocent person, simple and plain. And now it's evident. Ain't nobody coming out now. Where these jurors at now? Where
okay,
are they now?
Alabama.
They're not saying nothing.
Listen. Again, the system, as I said, the system is racist. The system is has
absolutely.
It's bad. And if you look, when we talked earlier, they want you to become a part of the system. And I'm trying to find a guy who was on Arsenio Hall last night. He was very, very good because he talked about the system. We need to understand the system is inherently evil.
Yes.
And we do not understand that. But we have to look at people individually. And we crucified a man, and we put together a race war based upon something that was not racist, based upon him and Zimmerman, but based upon the system that investigated him because they took his word because of the color of his skin and the color of Trayvon Martin's skin. And we have a problem with that, and the same goes with free speech. We talk about
when the system.
We talk about free speech. We say that we want free speech, but when we say something that we don't like that offends other people, then we say, oh, my God, you hurt my feelings. You can't say that. Yes, you can in a free society.
In nearly every article I've read about this case, about, like, the aftermath, they've mentioned that George Zimmerman happens to be Latino. And I think that is completely irrelevant. Race is a social construct. He has light skin, and he might as well be white. And honestly, just that is the way he was treated. He was treated as a white man in the judicial system, and he was given an advantage because of it. He should not have.
But there were other circumstances around this.
Yeah, I mean we've had some of the expert witnesses on this program explaining about the tapes and how the evidence was run through. So, I mean, what this started out with was one man with a chip on his shoulder versus another man with a chip on his shoulder, and it ended up unfortunately, with a young man getting killed. He didn't get himself killed. Don't get me wrong there. But the aftermath of this, as Tracy said, Zimmerman never should have been released. That was the first mistake.
They never investigated this as a homicide. Right. They investigated as this in the first place, and that's because the system,
right.
The perceptions of the system, what we're doing is, it's like with Martha Stewart, but what's her name? Paula Deen.
Right.
You just told me you thought she had said it recently, and we said to you it's 27 years ago.
I must
be. No, everyone, the majority
that's
of the people.
It's not just you.
It's not just you. This is how they reported it.
They made
people believe
right.
It's now.
You?
But yet you got this man who's on Duck Dynasty. He says something that he believes in his heart, and they crucify him because they disagree with him.
It's not like he got let go after the ratings went down or after the retail sales dropped off.
The women of Warren.
And that goes against everything that America stands for. We're supposed to be able to say and think and assemble as we choose.
In fact, if you are ignorant, I want to hear you say ignorant things so I know you're ignorant.
And I'd rather know how you feel about me than for you to smile in my face and stab me in my back. Hey, 440, how you doing, honey? 440? Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you. There was a lot going on. I just have one thing to say. You know about the Trayvon Martin thing. You know, there's a lot have been said about that, but you know, conversely, it's gone the other way too. I mean, there's a white baby shot point blank in the face by a black boy. He did not get prosecuted as a hate crime. You're not robbing the baby, you're robbing the mother. For no other reason,
racist.
You shot a baby in the face.
Shoot the baby because the baby
got shot. Hold on, Diva. Let him finish. Go ahead.
As far as I'm concerned, the crime that he committed was strictly racist. You shot that baby for no other reason because it was a white, defenseless baby.
Was he a
white?
Can I jump in there? Was he acquitted?
Hold on. Whoa, no. Go ahead,
no,
Diva.
No, he wasn't acquitted. He was arrested. He went through the system, and he didn't shoot the baby because it was white. He shot the baby because he was being stupid.
But was
it
he
had nothing to do with skin color.
George Zimmerman.
Yeah, if race is irrelevant.
No, my God.
Okay,
was he acquitted or was he prosecuted?
No,
because
no,
there's a difference.
No,
not the mother,
because
she was white. It was a crime of opportunity. The mother was in the right place for him at the right time, at the right moment. It was a crime of opportunity for him. It had nothing to do with race.
No.
And yet,
he picked out an easy white target.
I guarantee you he will
hold
be
on.
Found guilty of that crime, and he will be sentenced and serve his time.
Hold on.
This is the thing I'm trying to say. Let's not act like that white people are getting somehow, and I honestly believe that there are a lot of ignorant black people out there that need to be going to jail if they do something stupid. So let's not act like I'm defending it. But what I'm trying to say is this. You can look at our judicial system. For example, a black male that's not a celebrity, not an athlete, that's not going to have a university behind him with millions of dollars, and a white female, and she says he raped her. Everybody on this phone know that black male is in trouble. even though, and if she was a white, if it was a white male, he might actually have a shot. But if he's black and she's white, because let's be honest, white men mostly are going to be in these positions. They don't like that. They especially don't like a black man getting a hold of a white woman. So it's going to be, he's in trouble. That's what started the Tulsa riots. Got stumbled on an elevator, and they killed like 400-500 black folks. So.
Absolutely.
I'm just saying, like, the judicial system is not fair, and it is bent towards helping whites over blacks.
Oh,
but
my God.
I'm not going to disagree with that, but don't forget the Duke lacrosse case. Remember the Duke lacrosse players?
What about it?
Yeah, they hired a stripper, and
okay,
anecdotally,
one situation happened. One situation happens, and that justifies all 400 years. I mean, come on, man. It ain't even close.
Wait a minute, Alabama. Hold on. This happens. Now, we need to also understand that this happens a lot.
Right. And I'm not going to say it doesn't happen more to black men than it does white men.
I mean, no.
Don't get me wrong.
It happens a lot. It happens a lot. Both, and it happens. It happens a lot. But over the years, we've had more black people killed by white people because of racism. But you have to understand, we've got white people that are getting killed now because of the color of their
skin. This knockout game thing that's going on.
Well, no, because knockout is a little bit different. That's something different. That's just stupid.
But they're claiming, they're posting on their Facebooks, they're looking for Jewish people.
But again,
hold on now. Even with the knockout game, the videos they're running was 5 years old. Go ahead, man.
Again, this is going into a place where people are fighting each other, and they are hurting each other both ways. But black people have very, very few blacks are getting prosecuted under the Hate Crimes Act because they're killing somebody because they're white. That's true, and we need to understand it is skewed wrong because we need to take the elements as the elements and quit putting in what our thought processes are. Because there have been some white folks that got killed just because they was white. But we also need to also understand that there are black people that are getting hurt just because they're black.
Right.
But when I say
Tracy, let's look at this situation and say, okay, when a black person is in a situation and a white person is in a situation, run the statistics, all things equal, and it's not even close what usually happens with the white guy and the black guy.
Like I said, we have to understand when this goes on, the system in which we talk about, it is the one who is corrupt because actually it's the one who actually makes it to where it's separated. That's when I go back to Trayvon Martin and I said they investigated Zimmerman as a self-defense instead of as a homicide because they automatically took his word that this boy was guilty based on the color of his skin. And we threw it on to Zimmerman, and Zimmerman was crazy as a loony bird. And we need to be able to separate what goes on. The same thing.
Somebody gonna get him
drunk
one day, and he gonna sit and brag about killing. Watch, it's gonna come out.
No, he ain't.
He gonna brag. Okay, that dude is stupid.
He ain't stupid like that. He's crazy. He's stupid. He's look at what he's doing. Look at his behavior. He's not. He didn't intend to kill that boy.
Well, how do you know the motive? No, Jeff, how do you know the motives and intentions of somebody's heart at every moment
because
of their life? Like, I just find that amazing.
And I looked at all the information, and I watched that this man who was already home to his daddy's apartment went back and confronted Zimmerman, and then he got himself killed, too. I was all for him before. You know that.
Wait. How do you know he confronted the dude, chased him? How do you know that? They told him not to, and he chased him. So he was. How do you know? Hold on. He didn't identify himself, Jeff. You said he didn't identify himself.
Because he told his girlfriend he had got home, and she said, well, you better go back and get him. That's baby precious. And said, you know, you better go get him. You don't want him coming after you don't want him coming after your little brother. Don't you remember that? Well, I do. And that's one thing he did. He went back and confronted Zimmerman and got killed. Now,
he
went back. Hold on.
Can I ask you guys a question? And this ties into yesterday. If you were walking down the street and you saw George Zimmerman arguing with some woman and maybe had her pinned up against the wall with his hand like on her neck or something, would you go intervene and be the superhero then?
Yeah, I would too, yes.
Yeah.
Would you?
If I had a gun, I would.
even if I didn't.
If not, I'll be calling 911.
Okay.
Ain't nobody got to be no fool. You know, you call 911, and then you watch the situation and see if you tell him or keep out the way so you don't get shot, killed, stabbed, or whatever. But the man's a fool. That's the problem. And he's showing himself to be one by his actions after this whole debacle.
But how do you know that when that night he did not judge that boy on his skin color? I just find that amazing.
Alabama, you probably missed it. We had one of the expert witnesses on here explaining how the 911 tapes and about how you could hear the fact that Zimmerman turned around and that you could hear somebody coming up behind him that was out of breath from running and things like that. We had that guy on here.
Okay, regardless of the fact, if a guy chases you, you don't have to run from him. You could turn around and say, why are you chasing me?
No, I'm not talking about Zimmerman was breathing normally. Walking, and you can hear the audio in the 911 tape showing that Zimmerman was walking back to his vehicle, and that Trayvon Martin came running up behind him and sucker punched him.
I've never heard that.
I should say confronted him.
Even Zimmerman said they got an argument first.
Right.
There was more to that, but I don't want to go in.
Yes.
I don't want to go.
It's a very long drawn draw.
I'm just talking about just the elements of what we know, and you have not seen it in the media yet. I'm going to take a break. You guys can talk off air, but you need to understand, and we need to be mindful of. The system is here to destroy us, and it wants us to actually stay separated. And when I look at Duck Dynasty, when I look at what's going on with Paula Deen, when I look at what happened with Zimmerman, they don't want you to think about what's going on behind and around it. They want you to look at this at face value and then make a judgment call. And if I don't like it, cut you off. And you don't destroy people based upon what they say and what they think, even if I don't like it, because America is supposed to be a place of freedom. We'll be right back.
Gift card.
I don't see how you just kill somebody and get off just free, and it ain't at least manslaughter. I don't see how
black folks that are so quick out there to defend Paula Deen. They'll jump in front of a train for Paula Deen.
Well, the reason why they're defending Paula Deen not because she wasn't heinous and racist. But because anything you say can and will be used against you to take your ability to make a living. And it shouldn't be that way. If I'm known to be a crook, well, hell, that's what I am. I'm a crook. I don't have to like you to be a crook and for you to, and you don't have to like me.
It depends on where you say it, Jeff. You have to be fair now. A school teacher can say what she wants to say on a Facebook page. But you go and say it one of them students, and you can get fired. It's a difference.
My point is, Alabama, she said what she said years ago in her own kitchen after being robbed. It didn't have nothing to do with nothing. Anger, whatever it was, I might call you a nigga. You robbed me, okay? I'm going to call you one. And guess what? If I'm packing, you ain't going to rob me. Okay, so that's the bottom line.
I haven't heard you not defend the white perspective or the white person yet.
Well, I don't know what the hell you're talking about because you're out your mind as you say something like
that. I called
in
the other day. That's why the guy called in the other day and said you were a candidate for the drop squad, but I still know that you're comrade Jeff.
I know you're comrade socialist Jeff, so you can't be that bad. Well, see, here's the thing. Because of the silliness of us not recognizing white supremacy for real, like Detroit says, we don't realize that a system is stacked against us, and who stacked the system? That's what you're not paying attention to.
It does matter.
That's the whole problem.
Why does it matter?
Because you're supporting the one that's against you.
I don't support nobody but myself.
Brown, we're not talking about just you. We're talking about our whole
set of people.
Well, you just want to brainwash people with your ideology.
I'm not brainwashing nobody, Brian. I don't want people to wake up.
And there are no such thing as a racist Republican, that all the racists are liberal. You know, just about all white folks have some type of
prejudice.
Something.
Yeah,
maybe it's lack of understanding. Some of it's just plain hate. Some of it, they just don't understand. Whatever it is.
Yeah, some of it is concern that the person who is black that you're coming up against has ill will toward you. You don't know. And I'll
speak to
the white person
online. It'd be a whole bunch of things.
You try to be beyond all that. But there are times when you do become afraid, and when you're afraid, you do strange stuff, and that goes for black or white.
Hold on, Mike, let me ask you this, though. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you guys a question.
Yeah.
Why do white people have a problem? Like, when I see a person that just doesn't like a black person, for not just those reasons you're talking about, but, okay, you take people from their country, you deny them their rights for 100 and some years after they get out of slavery. They finally get their rights 50 years ago. Now you don't like them. They did. We don't control nothing. You own all the banks. You own all the businesses. Everything, just about every business I go in is white-owned, and yet you still have a disdain for the guy that you already done stumped and basically immobilized. Like,
I understand.
So why? That's what I'm sitting there, and yet you still hate black folks. I don't get it. I just don't get it.
There's a plan.
And I work in a community of really work really hard to cross the society and understand that money's green and all people are people and should be treated with respect. Money knows no color. And we really work hard. But both of you are arguing good points that I could argue with on any day of the week and support. But Alabama, you're right. I don't understand it. It's just part of the ignorance of the culture. And it's just programming. It's like, why did you grow up speaking English? Because it was the only thing that you were offered. Well, to a large segment, not all, not the majority, but to a huge segment of the white population in this country, they were offered a steady diet of black be bad and white be good, and that's the way it is. And then even though they get older and they try to get that out of their bloodstream, you can keep doing transfusions, but you're always still going to have some of that blood in you somewhere. And it's a lot of hard work. And like I say, you know, even for myself, and I'll be honest with you, you guys know, you know where my passion is with, you know, for my black brothers and sisters, but even there are times that, you know, I can recall being fearful when I was in a situation where I was the minority and I wasn't sure exactly what was coming down, especially being blind, you know? So, nothing happened to me, you know?
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
You're going out and you're interacting with people and networking.
Yeah.
And, you know, you can tell a lot, and I'm sure you've developed a real keen ear.
Mm-hmm.
And you rely a lot on your other senses to make up for your lack of sight. But you probably generally can take a guesstimate, or I don't know if you've been blind from birth where you could picture something. First off, can you tell if someone is white or black when you're talking to them? And let me ask you this.
Yes.
Have you found out later that sometimes you've made a mistake?
Yes. Yes, on both. There is a black dialect in this country, the same as Jews have a dialect, and the same as people from New York have a dialect. There is a black dialect that you do pick up on if you're listening. And, you know, but again, I was raised in a very culturally blended society, area of the country where there was also Lithuanian and German and other dialects, and you pick up on them after a while. You can tell where someone's from. So, but, yes, I have been fooled. I'll tell you who fooled me. One time I was like floored, not that his color mattered, but I was floored that I didn't pick up on any traits, and that was Brian Duffel.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Got to change the subject a little bit for us for a few minutes. Hillary Clinton's going to be running in 2016. Who's going to run against her?
No, she's not. She hasn't said so yet.
Okay, and I haven't said that I am going to go on vacation next year, and I am. So what? Just because I haven't said it doesn't mean I'm not going to go.
You think Joe Biden's going to run against her?
Nope.
Do you think she's going to run unopposed in the primaries?
Yep.
When if she runs, she won't win.
Jerry Brown won.
He might run.
I don't think.
Jerry who?
Jerry Brown.
California.
California.
No. They're going to clear that field.
Listen,
They're going to clear that field so she can run straight down the middle.
They already threw out. What's her name from
Massachusetts?
From Massachusetts already said that
she's the Native American gal.
Those people,
yeah,
listen,
yeah.
It's gonna, have you guys know anything about football?
Yeah.
They're right now there are people that are running their blockers,
yeah.
and they are clearing that field.
Yeah.
So that quarterback can run straight down the middle.
Now I'll tell you what, she's not going to have the advantage that Obama did when she runs. The liberal press is already ready to put the crown on her. They were ready to do that, you know, 5 years ago also. But I don't think it's a slam dunk for her.
Why not?
Well, first of all, it depends on what happens with the president we have. She's joined to him at the hip, whether she likes it or not. And I stand by my statement. If they expect her to win the election, they're going to have to get rid of Obama. And I don't know how it's and people disagree with me, but I think it's that they will not tolerate this health care thing. I think it's going to be a problem in a major, major way. And
so you think in the way that the Democrats could have run Mickey Mouse against the Republican after Nixon, it's going to be the same situation.
Yeah, I think it can be. I think it's got that potential. She is not, you know, Barack Obama was fresh and new, good-looking guy. He
very
gave
glamorous.
A great speech. And, you know, here you had
Barbara. Genius marketing campaign, very good.
Yeah, the marketing was superb. And you had Barbara Walters get on TV
he
last week
star.
And say, we thought he was the Messiah.
We did.
And so, okay, now they found out what anyone that could read would know. What are they going to do? And I feel bad for him in a way because I wrote 4 or 5 years ago that the higher up on a pedestal you put this guy, the worse the fall's going to be. If, you know, and I use Jim Rhodes as an example. He's old governor of Ohio, Jim Rhodes, back when I was your age, okay? And he was a crook, and he admitted he was a crook. And nobody expected anything more than him being a crook. But that kind of a person you can deal with. But when you've
got
somebody
done,
who is in internally deceptive, and makes you believe that he's something else other than he's not. And we had a governor like that. It was Dick Celeste. And Dick Celeste happens to be, what's-her-face, Kathleen Sebelius' father.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she doesn't fall far from the tree. I think they got a problem with Obama, with Hillary Clinton and Obama. I don't know how they're going to resolve it. I think they'll get rid of him as president.
No,
that's just my opinion.
You're the political mastermind in this room, Mark. But I think she doesn't stand a chance because when she speaks,
Mark become a political mastermind in the room? I'm confused.
Because he's older than you, so he's got more experience. But let me get to my point.
No.
My point is. When she speaks, she sounds like everybody's ex-wife. And she's not going to get elected president sounding like everybody's ex-wife.
No.
Boy, you're right about that.
Thing.
I like that. I like that. I'll buy that.
It's a marketing thing. Like, you have to separate it in your mind. Is it because you think she would be a bad president, or is it because you wouldn't want to have a beer with her?
It's the tone of her voice.
Not only that, actually, what do people vote for? Why do people? What causes people to vote for people?
Money.
It's more than money. It's based upon perception.
Absolutely.
Because if it was money, you wouldn't.
Okay,
have
but what is the end? What is the end result?
That's right.
What's the end result?
I would listen to her 100% on this because
98% of African Americans were not doing great, and they voted for him overwhelmingly. So tell me.
That 98%, I can answer that question because if you talk to that 98%. In their minds, they thought that their money was going to go down or they were going to suffer worse than they already were if a Republican got in.
Now, I read a statistic that said that the majority of African Americans voted for John Kerry as well. So I want to ask, did they vote for John Kerry because he was black too?
No, they voted for John Kerry because he's Democrat. But
exactly,
the thing is, the number statistically, the most blacks ever showed up ever in an election was when he ran, and it almost equaled that same amount in 2012. So he got more blacks than we put him. Black people put him back in there. He should be out here talking about reparations right now. That's what he should be doing.
They wanted to be a part of something.
No. It was positive social in 08. 2012, it was a vote of fear.
Here's the thing. If you look at the overall picture, Barack Obama, with the press at his back, pushing him along, raising him up to messianic status, and he beat McCain and he beat Romney. But it wasn't a landslide. It was very, very close.
It was close.
And so here comes Hillary Clinton. She's not going to have the messianic thing with it. Nobody's going to view her as the next Messiah.
Yeah.
I mean, we know her. Everybody's known Hillary. We know all her dirty secrets. And she's shrill. She's a shrill woman.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of baggage that she carries with her, and there's some dead bodies along the way also that come with her. And I think what's going on, if you look at the state of the investigations right now, I hope the Republicans are smart and not stupid. But I keep wondering why they're not investigating Benghazi and what happened in Benghazi, because it's still too soon.
Why are they not investigating it?
Because I think they're waiting a year. They're going to wait a year. It gets closer to the presidential election. You'll see the investigations come down. If they take the Senate, the Republicans take the Senate, I think you're going to see the investigations start after the election next year in Benghazi, because they're waiting. If they do it now, people will forget. They want to make sure that Benghazi issue is front and center. I just don't. Hillary's a lot of people with Obama. They were neutral with the guy. They didn't know him. He was an unknown quantity.
Mm-hmm.
With Hillary Clinton, you either like her or you hate her, and you've got a bunch of people who hate her starting out of the gate.
And most people have already made their decision whether they like her
or
they hate
not.
Her.
Yeah, I agree with
How
that.
You doing?
So it's going to come out in the polls pretty quickly.
Yeah, but you never know who's going. Barack Obama came out of nowhere and, you know, bumped her. Same thing can happen again.
I don't know.
I don't think.
I'll tell you who can do it. Evan Bayh can beat her. Evan Bayh from Indiana.
Smart.
What makes you say that?
Because he is a Midwesterner. He is a relatively conservative Democrat, and I think he can beat her. You know who else can beat her?
Who?
The guy from West Virginia.
Manchin. Listen.
Yeah.
They're going to clear that field.
No. Manchin will have trouble because you've got my daughter's husband's from West Virginia. You got a lot of people in West Virginia that are very upset with Manchin. In fact, Manchin may lose his Senate seat You've got a lot of stuff going around. Manchin showed up and he pretended his Halloween costume was he pretended to be from West Virginia.
Yeah, you know, I think your other caller hit it right on the head when he said 98% of the black people voted for Obama. And he said, and we should have been talking about reparations right away. That's why they voted for him in the first place. That's the whole deal.
That's right.
He said it. That other caller said it. He hit it right on the money. That's the reason that's it right there. End of the game.
Because he didn't.
Can you explain? I'm lost a little bit. Can you explain what you mean?
What's that?
Can you explain what you mean by that?
I'm just saying that's why the black people voted for Obama. Is so
because all black people think alike, right?
No. Wait, 440,
right.
My question is, are you saying that the reason why black people voted for Obama was because they thought they would get reparations?
They thought they were going to get reparations of some kind or another. When I worked at this one place where I worked at, and there was about 300 or 400, 300, There was 300 and some odd people, most of them black. They thought they were going to get money or some kind of payback from this president.
Can I say this to you?
Sure.
I don't care what they. I'm serious. Let me be honest with you. Black people voted for Barack Obama because he was black, and they saw the first time in 2008 it was a sense of pride because they wanted to see little black girls in the White House. They wanted to see a black family there because they thought it was an unattainable feat. In 2012, the reason why they voted for Barack Obama is because the Democrats swore up and down that if they voted for Romney, he was going to put them back in chains.
All I seen was over and over on the news, I'm going to get some of that Obama money. And it wasn't coming from white people. And that's the fact. That's the way it is.
You know, some people should really be qualified from commenting on things when they make such simplistic arguments. That's absolutely
it is what it is. And you know it.
All black people don't think the same. We're not monolithic.
He didn't
you,
know.
You're operating on a very low.
We are monolithic when it comes to our politics. Have you seen how we
that
vote?
That is not true. That
Brown,
is not true.
98% of African Americans vote Democrat. You cannot tell me that we're monolithic. We vote straight down the ticket. We can ask no questions.
Know something? You have evidence here on your show that black people aren't monolithic. Just
that's
with the gathering of 7 to 10 regular black people
agree and disagree with each other, we the
variety
two.
Of factors
said,
every day.
Brown, 98%, we the two. 2%, that's us.
And I think Brown is saying that you can't get a many black people to agree on any subject.
She understands what I'm saying.
On any subject, but when it comes to voting Democrat, I do think that we are just 100% Democrat. I mean,
no,
it's probably in the high 80s.
I said darn near. I know I'm from Alabama, but darn near mean, just so y'all know, darn near mean close.
Well,
approximate.
We the two.
As long as the Republicans have represented moneyed interests and big business, it's been not to the interest of the majority of black people. Now, there are black people that are middle class, rich, and upper middle class that vote along with the Democratic Party, even though
that's
it may
not
serve their financial interest.
Comment on that?
Yeah, hold on, Brown. Go ahead, Mark.
His voice sounds so familiar,
Brown,
that guy talking.
Brown.
It's eerie.
He's still hey, Brown.
Yeah, he doesn't stop.
Dude,
you know what?
Pop
I don't even
want to
hear what you have to say. I'm not
sure that the Republican Party is the party of business and rich corporations. That's the biggest crock. The biggest corporate president that we've had is the one that's sitting in the White House right now. He's made more deals with corporations than you could possibly imagine, and they've all made a ton of money at the taxpayer expense. And I'll tell you what, if you think any of that money has filtered down to the minority community, think again, because it hasn't. This guy has stacked the books. He's stacked it with the banks. He stacked it with the insurance companies. He stacked it with the automobile companies. He has stacked it with the oil drilling companies across the board. And, you know, he's made deals with the devil with these people. He is not your middle guy, small guy Democrat. This guy is the corporations and the rich have made more money under this guy than any other president. And if you want to look at the result, look at the stock market. Because that's who owns the stock.
$800 billion of taxpayers' money went to green corporations that he asked for. Do you know how many are in business right now? None.
You know, those are shovel-ready jobs, you guys. Shovel-ready green jobs.
Where did that money go to?
Oh, they were shoveling something.
That's your president.
You left out GE.
Oh, yeah.
The world's largest corporation.
The ones that don't pay taxes. Tax-free GE.
Has a position in the White House. I mean, they took the head of GE and brought him into the White House on some labor to create jobs, and in 18 months he sat there. Never once did they have a meeting about making jobs.
No,
why
he was doing business with Iran.
Meanwhile, his company was doing business on all this proposed windmill and solar and everything else.
I sure did a piss poor job of getting your message out. If you can't win an election, I feel sorry
look
for
at,
you.
Go ahead,
hold on.
Look at the Dodd-Frank law, which was done during when the Democrats held everything. It's made the big banks are bigger now than they were in the crash of 2007-08, and the small banks are going out of business right and left as a direct result of this Dodd-Frank law that was supposed to make it better for the banks.
Hey, Diva.
Well, Geithner was in on that, the dismantling that.
Hold on. Diva, how you doing?
I'm great.
I see you jump back in. So you're going to vote for Hillary no matter what, right?
No, yes. I'm not so sure of that. I do know that Evan Bay will not win a primary against Hillary. He's too conservative for the left. Neither will Joe Manchin. So her field right now for the primary is very, very clear unless she get Barack Obama again. But
again,
I can't see that happening. And as far as oh my gosh, I just lost my train of thought. Carry on.
I predict Barack Obama will pardon Hillary for any possible involvement she had in Benghazi and give her amnesty before he leaves office.
She should be on trial.
Just like Ford did to Nixon.
Yep. She should be on trial, and she should go to jail for that.
And then as soon as she's president, she'll pardon him for anything the Congress starts going after him for after he's no longer president.
I just find it hilarious how we have so many people on the right who really know the left so well that you can sit here and you can make these blanket statements. I mean, I've heard it. We've heard it time and time again. There's no way Barack Obama was going to beat Hillary. There's no way Barack Obama was going to beat Mitt Romney. You guys are 0-2 and just here and make these assumptions.
I never said those statements.
Right.
I've heard it more times than enough on this radio show. I mean,
You
guys had to walk back a lot of stuff based on you guys thought Benghazi was going to ruin his chances at winning
the
election.
But, you have to walk back his health care law. He lied. He said you can keep your doctor pure. You can keep your health care plan.
They all lie. That's what they do. They're professional liars.
That's a big one to walk back. That's a big one right there.
Here's the thing, and this is why I'm so mad at Jay Carney and the White House, because at the time that he said that, at the time that he said that, the right media, the right conservatives were talking about how the government was going to come in and make all the choices. You weren't going to be able to talk to your doctor. The government was going to be able to make all these decisions for you. That's why he came out and he said that. And that's what makes me so mad, because nobody's thinking back to when this argument first happened.
Diva, it's not about debating whether or not what the media was saying at the time. It's about what's happening to people right now and what you said, and they compared it to.
It doesn't matter what happened now, because the content of what he was saying back then was to address something else. It had nothing to do with addressing what was going on right now. That
all right,
when,
Diva, I'm
going
to ask.
He said if you like your health care plan, you keep your plan, period. You said that wasn't
when
really about everybody.
Interview later that year, he was asked that question. He says they asked him, well, some people are going to lose their health care. And he admitted that. He said, yes, those
Barack
people
Obama
are,
himself,
are going
wait, wait,
to lose
he came
out care.
Himself when he talked to Bill O'Reilly and said he was wrong. You need to tell Barack Obama to come talk to you. He need to come talk to you before he get in a speech, because you can tell him. You get him straight. You get him together. You know his. You know what he said better than he do, because he came out of his own mouth and said he was wrong. So,
do you think Obama has lied in his while he's been in office? Has he talked it one way and walked it another?
I think it's more naivete.
He didn't know no better. He ain't know no better. Yeah.
Answer, man.
I believe it. I believe something.
Let me form the question again. I'm interested. Do you think that he's like lied or misled people at all?
Are you saying did he do it on purpose or it was unintentional?
Has he done it? Has he done it? Yes, on purpose. Has he intentionally lied? Has he intentionally lied?
I don't believe that.
So back in 2010, he didn't know that this was going to happen.
You know what?
No,
the emails by his staffers saying that they knew it was going to happen. So the staffers knew, but he didn't know.
care.
Are you guys asking a question, or are you just bombarding me with your aunt?
Why he got elected to office. The reason why he got attention in the first place is because he was the only Democratic candidate in 2008 that was against the war and spoke against the war. And the public, by that time, the public had turned against the war. But
that's not why everybody turned towards him.
That's what made him stand out.
Made him stand out, but Hillary was the front runner. It wasn't until Hillary started that little birther stuff, that condescension, and then Bill just killed it for her after that. Then the Clintons turned people off. Because she had this sense of entitlement, like, who are you? This is mine. I got this.
I'm not talking about her. I'm just talking about Obama, and you're right about that. The people are tired of the Clintons. That's why Hillary won't win.
No, she may not win a general election, but I guarantee she'll win the primary.
Whoever,
you know what, I guarantee any of you people that are making...
But Diva, if what's going on is great for the country, why won't she win the general election? If everybody, Barack Obama is doing what needs to be done, right? Because you said that he came in and lied and manipulated because he's doing what's right that need to be done, but he can't tell people what needs to be done.
I didn't say that. I did not say that.
She's not agreeing that he lied and manipulated. She's saying that he may have said things and may have had to adjust it out of naivete, that he didn't intentionally mislead folks.
Diva, he's naive on everything that happens. When Benghazi happened, when the IRS... This dude is either a scrub that's uninformed and don't know what he's doing, or he's manipulative, and you better not ever run into him.
I didn't say that either. And I'm trying to understand, Alabama, why you keep putting words in my mouth, because I didn't say that either.
Hey, Diva.
No, you didn't say what?
Diva, may I just finish something with Beasley? Before the last break, Beasley asked me a question if there was ever a black person who fooled me by their voice that they weren't black. It was Brian Gumbel. And there was a couple others, and I can't remember their name. But, like, it didn't change my opinion about him. It just is like, wow. But then again, Bill O'Reilly totally fooled me. I didn't realize he was from Long Island until he started saying it, because people from Long Island have a definite accent. My wife's from Long Island, so I know that accent, you know. But you can speak the Queen's English, and you will get by me, you know. But there are definite cultural things. And to answer and to finish the other question, yes, I have been in situations where I was fearful amongst black people. But it wasn't – see, if I was with a group of black people and there were more black people added, no. What happened was I was alone a few times and in sections of town that were predominantly black, and I had to pass by a bunch of guys standing on the street.
Be nice to her because she just got done giving her stepfather a lot of kudos. And I was messing with her, telling her, are you sure? But her stepfather is a friend of mine.
Yeah.
And actually, those Friday boys, both of them, they're good guys.
They are.
I said it out loud. Am I supposed to say that out loud? I can't say it on the air, can I? They might be listening.
You can give people accolades on the air. You just can't.
Why can't I? Wait, so if I can give you accolades, why can't I say how I really feel about everything else? That's what you call freedom of speech. I ought to be able to give accolades and say how I really feel about everybody and anybody. Isn't that right, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Jeff couldn't stand it. He heard I was passing out
I didn't know nothing about it.
He wanted to make sure he got his.
Yeah, I saw that. And not only that, you know why they're getting rid of the...
I saw what?
The polygamy
and
all.
I got
an article here. But
there you go. Wednesday. You can't do this article 20 minutes before 3 o'clock.
No, it goes back into the same-sex marriage thing.
What?
North Dakota Attorney General says that if a man who's married to another man in another state can come to
North Dakota
and marry a woman. And he's not a polygamist.
So? But the polygamy people are saying, why can't a homosexual man have multiple men?
and you've got the judge in Utah saying, now that we got this same-sex thing going, we might as well just let people have polygamy again.
The problem with polygamy is it nurtures a culture of misandry.
What's that word?
No, misogyny. Sorry.
You know what? You need to quit regurgitating them books they're reading in college.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
If
you can have one husband and multiple wives, why can't you have multiple husbands for one wife?
Well, I suppose you could have that, but I don't think...
You know, I'm having a problem getting one. All I want is one.
You got to go for the gusto, Tracy. You can't just go
for one. You know what,
though?
It will probably be easier.
You have to aim for three, and then you might get one.
Oh, geez.
It will probably be easier to get married But when a guy knows, he going to have to marry one woman for the rest of his life, he going to just marry that. We're going to be like, well, man, I need to make sure I marry the right one. But if I know I can marry her, keep her moving, get these other two over here, get old girl with the big butt over there, I like her, I'm going to marry her too, then, you know, be happy. You might have more women can't
yeah,
marry like that.
Alabama, so which one are you really going to care about the most?
All of
I mean,
them.
Honestly, and I know this is going to be just sound messed up. You're going to like each one in a special way. That's just how it's going to be.
I'm sorry, Alabama, I interrupted you, but
she's so polite.
If anybody's read any accounts of sister wives and actual polygamy, it is disgusting. It's just this.
Yeah, I saw the movie.
Emotional.
Well, wait, you can't just say it's disgusting. That's your opinion.
But you want to know something?
No, I don't think it's.
Hold on a second.
No.
Separate the institution of marriage from the
situation.
As a single person, you're allowed to have as many girlfriends or boyfriends.
Let me defend myself. I don't think it's disgusting because it's one man with multiple women. That's not why I think it's disgusting at all. I think it's disgusting because it's emotionally abusive and manipulative, and it's unhealthy relationship dynamics. They are not on equal standing. It is one guy
who has complete control over multiple spouses. People been doing this a thousand years before you got here, baby.
Where men
have all the power
and women have none of the power, and it's just very harmful, very toxic. And anybody that's ever read any accounts or watched any accounts of this could see that. Have you ever watched Sister Wives? Have you ever read any books on this subject? I know you romanticized the ideal because, well, I don't know. You think
they're men.
You think women are cute?
Yeah,
and you like
Tracy, you're
going to
let this guy talk for 45 minutes and not let me come back?
Here.
You can't just watch and say something to me and I can't come back? I can't say nothing back to
him? Wait a minute, Bama. You got Brad. I got to mute people because they're all trying to talk on top of everybody else. What?
Mormon?
Hold on.
Okay.
Go ahead, Alabama.
My point is this. First of all, what you think and what you're about is men have all the power, this, that. Look, we could go back and forth about that, but my point is this. If you really want to look at it, I'm not making a case for polygamy. I'm not trying to be a polygamist. I'm being fair, though. I'm getting my emotions, my religious views, and my culture out of it, and I'm saying you go to Africa and talk to these women that live in these situations and ask them if they okay. You go to these countries where it's like that. Everybody's not in America. We European white European Westerners want to make everybody in the world think and act just like they do, especially them college professors that you go to school with. So that's the problem I got. I'm just being a devil's advocate and saying, who are you to tell some other woman if she want to be in that situation and she content? Who are you to tell her what's wrong with her? You can't tell nobody what that's what you think because you're from Europe. That's the way you think. That's the culture that you've been raised in, and now that's the only right way it's got to be. When I'm telling you, it's not like that.
Excuse me. I'm not that kind of feminist. I think that women should be able to make their own decisions, but I don't think it's fair the way the Mormon Church does polygamy.
Listen, hold on.
They don't really have.
Don't be going into the Mormon Church. This ain't just the Mormon Church. It's been polygamous for years.
Hold on.
I watched
it. Yes,
I watch a TV show.
Okay.
Hold on.
Okay. The TV show tell everything.
Okay.
Listen,
I'm saying to you, and I gotta let Mike in because Mike hasn't been in. You guys don't realize that I have a choice if I want to marry you or not. If I know that you got, if I marry Mark and Mark's married to his wife, and I know he's married to his wife, and I choose to marry Mark, and she goes and Ginger comes to the wedding, both of us crazy. But that should be our business. The problem that we have is we're watching something that from and let people do what they do. You got to realize you got women that are married and their husbands don't their husbands have chicks on the side and got a brothel and they running it and they got a whole little convention going on. If that's how you want to live, live. Just don't make me have to call what you live normal and or I agree with.
Can I just?
And it ain't about the power over me. I got my own power. But if I get married, I'm still going to be me.
I suppose if I really think about this from like the larger perspective, I guess I think it should be legal because...
Talking about legal or illegal. Don't make me no difference. My problem is if you want to marry a clown, if you want to go swing on the chandeliers and wear duck feet.
Wear
duck feet. It's America.
Our problem is we keep on being judgmental of other people's lives and not judging normal and abnormal.
But the case that you
is abnormal.
I have a problem with feminists anyway.
I don't know. And you,
feminists
you
always want to try to take a situation and make it out like they're the victims. I mean, women spend more money. Y'all, look, 80% of the stores are for women. Y'all spend every man money that go to work. That's the truth.
What?
Go to any mall. I ain't even been to Ohio, Youngstown. I bet you all y'all malls, 80% of them stores are there for women. I mean, y'all, you want it one way one minute, and you want it one way the other minute. If you look at like things, y'all, we got 3 to 4% difference in income. There's a 3 to 4% difference in income, and the feminists still
want
to complain.
I
just don't get it.
I said the F word. I shouldn't have said feminism because I just opened up Pandora's box, now I'm going to get so many people just.
That's right, Diva.
You already did that when you called yourself a socialist. Feminist.
You did that yesterday.
Oh, she's a socialist?
She was yesterday.
Oh, my God. She all messed up in the head.
You survived that one.
I watch Sister Wives, and I'm sorry. Those women control that man. I'm sorry. They run that man ready.
Hold on.
Secondly, what's happening in Utah, in that case that the Browns took to court, has nothing to do, and what the court came back with has nothing to do with legalizing polygamy. It's the fact that this man and these women chose to live with, he has one legal wife, and all the other wives, the other women he's cohabitating with, and that's illegal in Utah. So they were criminalizing him having one legal wife and having three other living girlfriends, basically, and him calling them wives. Me personally,
that ain't got nothing to do with nothing. That's not against the law.
I'm sorry, you can't.
That shouldn't be illegal.
Their life choice.
Sure.
Not polygamy. That's what I was saying earlier. If a single man or if a man that's married chooses to have a bunch of girlfriends, I mean, it's adultery. It doesn't pass by some people, but it's not illegal.
But in Utah, they made it illegal. And that's why they went from Utah to Nevada.
Diva, you just said that's a party pack.
It is a party pack. I don't get it. I can't do it. I can't share my man like that.
I mean, you guys realize
the right
there are
guy.
People that are swingers out there.
No, I'm
she can share you like that, though.
That lets me out.
That ain't nothing
no.
that Diva can't share. That lets
hold
me
on,
out.
You guys, I mean, it used to happen in the 70s, and now it's back really big called swinging.
Yeah. Bob and Carol said
yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, swinging might have died out there in Youngstown in California. It's never stopped.
Okay, so
they got something in Atlanta. You go in there now. You can get out in front of anybody. It's Salt Nigga Mall. That ought to be the neighborhood.
Hold on. You got swinging. You got jamming. You got running. You got hiding. You got peekabooing. You got all that kind of stuff going on. And folks are doing it. In America, I'm not going to – it's okay. But what's happening is – let people have their business and let them keep it to themselves. Mm-hmm. What you do in your rooms, and if you want to have if you want to put 100 people in your house and sleep with all 100, that's their business.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right.
Yeah, but it makes
what's
it
going,
great.
What's going
you know,
on right
your,
now?
Your sexual preference shouldn't be your identity. It shouldn't be
that's
how you present
problem.
Yourself
and
to the
I
world.
I shouldn't have to affirm your identity.
Right.
And what's happening right now is we're trying to affirm everybody's sexual identity and call it, ooh, that sounds so good. Let me try it, too. And I'm not going there with you. That's the problem.
Uh-oh. Well, maybe it would affect a younger mind, somebody that'd be curious. They're definitely setting the stage for it to be more fit.
And if
they're
curious.
Definitely doing that. There definitely is a gay agenda.
It's more than a gay agenda. I mean, you got a new TV show on called The Orange is the New Black, and she is a transgendered male who's now female, and she got it hot and popping, and we're going to watch it like this is real.
You have to realize there are forces that control images that are put out in the media.
The normal family, right now we got the new normal, and we got all this kind of crazy stuff, and we're calling these things normal because we want you to believe that it's normal, and I'm trying to tell y'all a frog and a bird cannot cohabitate for long because eventually they're going to fight.
Tracy, really? I think
but
you're demonizing
the thing about it is,
right, the bird will get worse.
We just have to realize we're going to believe what we believe. We can't expect for everyone who is not a believer to subscribe to what we believe.
Diva, you can believe what you believe, but what I'm saying to you is don't make me have to call what you do
normal.
Especially if I can't call it
abnormal.
Tracy,
yeah.
Hold on, Mark.
Did you see where the university, the story on the news last night, the University of Maryland is requiring that their health insurance now pay for transgender sex surgery?
Right. Well, now, can I ask you this?
This is something that makes people sick in the head
when they feel
they're born the wrong gender.
No. Listen, if you feel as though you're born the wrong gender, people do whatever they do. That's their business. That's their body. But right now, we have young kids at 5 and 6 years old, and their parents are now transgendering them there. So if I...
Whoa.
When I was 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14... I am as crazy as a loony bird all the way through. Actually, I didn't create a real identity until I got 30, and I then think I'm still a little wacky, and now I'm 50, and I'm crazy as a red bug. What I'm saying is when you start transgendering kids and they're under the age of 18, I have a problem with where parents allow children to get tattoos if they're under 18.
I do, too.
I got a problem when you start doing anything that is permanent. But I'm not going to demonize. I'm going to deal with everybody's household the way we deal with it. And I'm not saying you should cause people grief. I don't think you should bully them. I don't think you should string them up. I don't think you should do whatever y'all do. But what I'm saying is when you start cutting off Winkies and putting on Twinkies, and then all of a sudden you realize you don't want the Twinkie or the Winkie, you're in big trouble.
Tracy, I know who you're talking about. I know you're talking about Coy Mathis, that little girl that was born male.
No, I'm not talking about someone that was born male. I'm talking about how we feel. There's a young little boy, and they're dressing him up in pink right now because he likes to play with dolls.
They don't just do that. They, like,
he's
take
five.
Them to therapy.
He's five.
The
I
therapists
know,
are crazy.
He's five.
They're
he doesn't
trained
even know what the equipment is for, and they're trying to take it away.
Question, at 5 years old, did you really
nothing.
Have your sexual identity on your mind?
Gender identity and sexual identity are completely different things.
Did you have your gender and or your sexual identity on your mind at 5 years old?
I knew I was a girl. I knew I liked pink.
I didn't like pink.
Are you making a case for
Barbie
a five-year-old to be turned into a boy?
You're not allowed to like pink
anymore. God, no. It's not
we need to go burn Kent State down.
I hope you wouldn't.
Alabama.
You said you knew you were a girl because you liked pink.
I didn't say I knew I was a girl because I liked pink.
It was a tomboy.
I'm a girly girl.
I had on leather tennis shoes.
Yes.
I was climbing trees.
Yes, sir.
And if things had been as today, you would have never thought I would be as feminine as I am today. Because I was definitely not there then.
The issue isn't whether transgender surgery is good or bad. The issue I raised is why the University of Maryland should be interested in educating people, not doing transgender surgery. That's the point.
California AB 1266 requires all public schools allow youths to choose which gender-segregated facilities fit their identity, including restrooms, locker rooms, and sports teams.
How do you figure that out at 5 years old?
Easy mess.
It's just
that's
something
crazy.
That you inherently know.
No, you
if somebody feels
some
that uncomfortable in their own skin,
that's
in their
some...
own body,
at
then they should
five,
have the resources to change.
At
they,
5 years old, you should not be choosing your gender identity. You should be choosing if you're going to choose pajamas and or
with footies or without.
Wait.
If you want the Barbie dream house or if you want the Barbie fun house, you want G.I. Joe, you want Batman, that's what you should be choosing at 5 years old.
Could I just defend myself?
No.
Okay.
There's no
not
such
about
thing as defense in here.
Well,
hey, Mike, how are you?
They should have a right. What's a right? If you're going to say it's a right to pay for, to have push your employer to pay for a sex change, that's like, look, I don't like this fat on my stomach. It makes me depressed. I can't do my job. So you pay for my liposuction. Same thing.
I should be able to get rid of my middle-aged man love handles if I can change their gender.
Yeah.
I want to know why I got. They won't pay for my gastric bypass surgery.
Yeah, I got a little gross.
And that's
on my
the problem
face.
I have with the left. They want to pay for every single freaking thing that somebody has a problem with.
Hold on,
clear the decks for Diva.
I can't hear. Hey, wait, Mike, hold on.
Yeah.
Mike, did you say that?
No, Diva said it, and I'm saying clear the decks for Diva. Let's hear her out.
Who?
Diva said it.
The reason why I said that is...
Surely has, wait a minute, Diva. Surely flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but your father was in heaven.
But the reason why I say that is, it's because
is that Diva?
I got into an argument on Facebook because some of my very liberal friends want prisons to now pay for prisoners' phone calls. And I'm like, why? Well, they need to talk to their families. Well, that wouldn't be a case if they had not done what they did. Oh, but it helps with the morality. Well,
the issue there is there's companies that charge exorbitant rates that have state contracts.
Yeah.
And you can
I
only...
I don't care. Look, you're in prison. You're in prison.
Let me say this, Brown. Tomorrow's open mic and we'll do this again, but I want to say this, and I want to bring this up, so Jester, don't you forget it. I have a problem with prisoner rights.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
If you do the crime, you
do the
crime.
Yeah, but you can't just get people in prison and charge them $10 to call somebody, though.
Yes, you can.
That's the prison industrial complex.
You
making money off
of that. You shouldn't have done it in the first place.
And how many hundreds of thousands
you
would it cost to investigate their crime so they can rip off some old lady for $100?
I'm not supposed to make a prison a country club, and if you can't pay, as a matter of fact, you're doing good to get a phone call. You ought to be working, and ought to have painting walls, and all that great work, picking oranges and apples, and I'm going to make it so uncomfortable that you never come back to prison again.
Hold on. Let me make this point. I got to stop for tickets. Let me make a point. I got to stop for some tickets,
that's
right?
That's crazy.
Got to stop
in
Georgia. It was suspended. Hold on. They took me to the county. It was $30 worth of phone calls. I made 3 phone calls for one day, $30. These people, these businesses outside of the prison are benefiting from locking people up.
What were you seeing, though? What was your tickets for?
I wasn't doing nothing. He came up in there and ran, asked me for my license just because he wanted to.
They're not getting the point. There's profiteering going on. There's
it's about money.
That's America.
That's because private companies
are
on
the
market.
But you can't just send it. But then if that's the case, why are these judges getting kickbacks for locking up the more kids they lock up, especially black kids?
Well, they should go to jail.
Y'all got to.
Anywhere.
They should go to jail.
Man.
They
just got 28 years. It was proven that he was getting kickbacks for locking up.
Exactly.
I think they're off the air.
And now he's got to pay exorbitant amount of money to make his phone calls.
Look, I'm for people having to pay for their crimes, but I'm not for people profiting off of it. Just like, because then what you have is corporations coming in and forcing
they've
the system
done it.
To train more people.
It's already, I mean, in commentary, a box of ramen, a pack of ramen noodles in a prison is like what, $6 when there's 35 cents in the store. They're doing it already. They need to have the right to call home. I'm sorry. That is not a guaranteed right. You're in prison. That's not a right for you to be able to call home. You're lucky. It's a prison.
I'm not saying let them out. I'm not saying give them everything they want. But I do think that you shouldn't have it where big companies, because then that company say, hey, I'm making $1 million. I'm going to get this guy for Christmas a $100,000 kickback. Next year he's going to lock up twice as many people for little petty crimes. It's not always the same for everybody. And I'm sure people are actually defending this.
You don't want to give them gourmet meals next?
I'm not saying gourmet meals, but you should, look.
That should be good enough.
A phone call? Come on, man. Come on. You can control the amount of phone calls. And you should be able to say, look, I don't want this guy calling me.
The phone call. I think there should be a reward system. Like, they do work around the prison and cut some of the overhead and earn the right
to
make a phone call.
Yeah, there you go.
They work around the prison.
And they
can
spend those credits.
You program. You get a job. That's how you get time shaved off.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't see a problem with that, but what I'm saying is these corporations, the reason that a small municipality like Stockbridge, Georgia, writes out $3,000-$4,000 worth of tickets for one stop, then they get you in, they try to hold you 2 weeks without seeing the judge, you can't bail out. Meanwhile, they got these people giving you peanut butter, but they tell me they charge them, it costs them $150 a day to house you. These people are making money. It's not all about people keeping the society safe.
I don't agree with it. It seems like they have a right to something. You don't have a right. That's a privilege.
If you stop me for tickets, I have a right to call home and try to get out. Oh, I don't get up with that.
No, you
crazy.
Don't.
Huh?
You make sure you use your best advantage.
Where does that even come from, one phone call? What if I call my mom or something, she can't answer the phone? So I'm stuck, that's it. I'm in jail for 2 months. I lose my job, my house get foreclosed on because I didn't come to work, everything.
Well,
just because
you have the right to
because,
an attorney
you know
as
why
well.
Your life
right
is suspended because you can't afford
as well.
It. Hold on. But that's 2 or 3 weeks out, Diva. You ain't never been through this. That's 2 or 3 weeks out. You sitting in jail for 3 weeks.
Okay, fine.
I don't care about that. I'm saying they hold you 3 weeks. Then what?
Conservatives done got to Diva and put something in her drink.
No.
Them conservatives done kidnapped Diva. Come on back, Diva.
No, this is how I've always thought. I'm sorry. That's why I said you can never fit me into one box because my worldview is mostly it doesn't fit into a box. I'm sorry. You're in prison. You're in jail. For whatever reason, you don't have any rights. You don't, especially if you actually committed
to crime. So it's okay to stop and hold someone for 3 weeks because they couldn't afford insurance and then they don't have money.
Yeah, you should be driving if here's my thing. You know can't afford the insurance. For whatever reason, you can't afford the insurance, but still you take the chance to drive. You're still breaking the law. There is consequences to breaking the law, even if you feel you had a good reason to do so.
I don't understand how someone could be locked up for 3 weeks waiting to see the judge. You won't let them bail out. They want to bail out. You have to own land in the state of Georgia. Let me finish. People couldn't even bail me out. No, they told me somebody got to own land to bail you out. So who owns? Okay, so I can't just come give you the 10% and usually bail out for one ticket. You holding me for 3 weeks. Come on, man. Y'all don't see that as unfair? You see that as profiteering? Unfair. $10 a phone call. Meanwhile, the company made $30 off me because I'm sitting there panicking.
I bet you
in
don't
one
drive
day.
They're doing more with no suspended license and insurance, right?
But see, the problem is, though, man, it's a lot of folks out here that can't afford to pay that type of stuff. You get somebody a $4,000 ticket, $4,000 worth of tickets, how they going to survive?
Don't drive.
What you mean don't drive? What if you got kids? What if you got bills?
You
can't just tell somebody.
In your mind, I'm ready for this consequences
guys,
for breaking the
you
law.
Guys agree
you don't need to be doing
one.
What you're doing. It's just as simple as that.
You got
you know
now,
what?
If you are willing to accept the consequences for breaking the law, then by all means, do it. But don't do it if you are not willing to accept
that.
Diva,
why you overtalk folks? You make your point and be so slow.
Alabama,
you
do it all the time.
5 minutes on a point. It takes you 5 minutes to make a point, and you can make your point so fast.
It takes you an hour, sweetie, but
you just make slow points.
All the time. You do it all the time. You overtalk people all the time, and you take it a whole hour.
Well, look, anyway, we ain't going to change either now or another. But what I'm trying to say is this. I feel like these municipalities are out here to make money. They're not out here to keep people safe. You tripping about the fact that I don't have whatever ticket was not paid and you want to put me in jail for it, find me, do other things. Even if you take a person in, but at least be able to have them a way to process out. You shouldn't hold a person 3 weeks and mess up their whole life for tickets.
You take the process
just shouldn't
and
do
try
that.
To change
about
the law.
Diva, I bet I can't lock you up for 3 weeks right now. You'll probably mess up a lot of stuff for you. You just can't do that to people.
Hey, I'm going to see you guys later. If I don't talk to you, Merry Christmas, because I think you guys can go another hour and a half on this one.
Yeah,
good luck.
They're going to cut us off here. Hey, Beasley, take care. I'll finish that statement someday to you about why I was afraid, okay?
I'd be afraid, too. I'm afraid we're going to have
to
get
it wasn't
that.
I had to walk through a gauntlet of about 8 or 10 people, and they were talking about me under their breath, and I wasn't sure what the intent was. Does that make sense?
Well, I'm glad you got out of it.
Yeah, and I did, but it did make me fearful. I got to be honest about that. But then again,
fearful, shucks. They got some crazy black low life criminals out there that'll do something to you.
Yeah, but it used to happen too when I had to walk through some of the. But I also had the same feelings when I had to walk through certain corners where they were controlled by white gangs, and they would do the same thing as I walked by. You didn't know what the discussion was about you, you know, because you can't read body language, you know.
You would think someone would be strong enough and say, hey, leave the blind guy alone.
And that's what usually happened. The leader would step up. He's cool. Let him go. I know him.
Yeah, leave the blind
guy
alone. What the fuck's wrong with you? It's like, at any rate.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Now, that's something I would intervene in, and I'm no superhero.
I'm voting for you for gang leader back in the old hood.
It's like, leave the blind guy alone. What the fuck's wrong with you? Help him out.
Yeah, you ain't proving nothing by picking on him.
Apologize to him.
Yeah.
Give him, empty your pockets and give him all your money.
Yeah. Well, they never went that far, but close to what you said was the case.
Yeah. Well,
most of the time.
I'm from Los Angeles. I know how gangs work.
Yeah. Yeah, and there is a code, believe it or not.
Yeah, you get points. You get points on how difficult degree of difficulty. If it's somebody that can really whoop you down, then
yeah.
you get points for that. You get points
well,
for like whooping
happen,
a small guy. Some yeah.
Somebody trying to make a point would step out in front of me, and of course I'd bump into him, and then I'd get shoved, going, "Hey, watch where you're going," you know. And then that's what we're starting.
Shit like that.
Yeah.
What kind of home training do you have to shove a blind guy?
Yeah, well, that was the code. You know, that's the way it was handled. And then somebody was speaking, leave him alone, leave him alone, leave the dude alone, you know, and that's where it went, you know. But, I got to admit, I was a little concerned because I didn't understand where I was standing, who's behind me, you know, what the intent was or nothing, you know. So, but fortunately, I survived all that, and my experiences have been mostly positive. And when I traveled around this country a lot alone a few years ago, like 10, 12 years ago, I traveled quite a bit. And I'd have a couple $100 cash in my pocket to pay cab drivers and, you know, some of the people at the airports who are minority people usually who would give you food service or help you say, yeah, come on, you're hungry? Let me show you where the pizza by the slice is or something. I would
right.
just pull money out of my pocket and hand them a watch. They take what you need. And in the years I did that, never once did anybody take a penny more than what they were owed.
Shit, I bet you couldn't say that. I bet you that couldn't happen today.
Well, this was back in the from 96 to 2004.
Oh, it should have happened to you then.
And I'm talking in South LA because you know if you land at the airport, you are in South LA, you know.
There was a blind guy that lived in my building that I used to take to the store every now and then.
Mm-hmm.
And he kept all his money in $1 bills.
Yeah.
And he paid in $1 bills and he never had to worry about that.
See, I would start out with a bunch of 20s, and then they'd get busted up. You know, you buy stuff, and I'd lose track of the change and stuff. But when I added up all the receipts everybody gave me and everything, never a penny was missing.
Well, that's good.
No, it is good. And you know, and again, most people in the United States are good people. It's only that 0.1% of mutants that we're arguing about all the time.
I think it's higher than 1%, but...
Okay, well...
Some of them are criminals, and some of them are in Wall Street and corporations, but
yeah.
you're right. The rest of them are good-hearted people. I do believe that.
Yeah, and what Alabama was saying, I mean,